Yes, it's Hillary Clinton v. Donald Trump come November. Whatever we've got here, people, whatever we have here in terms of our politicians, it's better than that option, don't you think? Talking of options, Jake Yap, thinking of running for any political office at any point?
I feel, well, there must be some register somewhere where you just put your name down and they'll call your name. I mean,
don't you think that would be great, wouldn't it? Hello, I'm interested.
Yeah, I'd be up for it. It'd be like, you know, like the deli counter in supermarkets.
Yes, you just take the ticket.
54!
Your turn!
50, yeah, you're up. What's your policy, love?
To be fair, you see, as a Republican, that's what I would do for the royal family. Because people say, you can't just have... Well, what if you've got someone who's terrible? I'm like, well, yeah, you could have
then
someone
terrible.
You can
terrible get rid
of them. Yeah. But, well, no, not, let's just literally... We'll have a poll. Anyone who wants to be king or queen, we will just use it. Take that raffle ticket, take the ticket at the deli counter, and we'll just choose someone. See how it goes.
That's good. Yeah, that's good. Like a totally random selection.
Yeah, as opposed to choosing someone who's chosen purely because they happen to be born to somebody in a family. It seems to me that would work out well.
You see, I was going to say I'd like to have a mad old cat lady, but then I was thinking about... No, that you can't say that. That's treason.
What's happening on your...
Oh, yeah, exactly. Exactly. Right. Well, I'm very excited because we've got Paul Mason. Who's...
Love Paul Mason.
I know, right?
I don't think our politics agree very much, but I think he's fabulous.
I know. I'm excited and nervous in equal measure. I want to do justice to this interview. He's going to be talking about post-capitalism.
He's very, very, very clever.
I know! That's what I can't handle.
But this is the difficult thing. He's very, very, very clever, apart from the fact he's completely wrong. It's a really difficult balance. He's a communist.
Look, do you want to stick around and do him?
What time's he on? I think
he's on next. He's on next.
What do you say, do him? I think that might
do
be.
Do him. Just stick around.
Let's just, yeah, just knife him. We don't know what he has to say.
I do hope he's listening to this preamble.
Oh, I'm not. I'm going to have to walk past him, aren't I, on the way out?
No. He's just on the phone. So you're quite safe. You can say whatever you like.
So wonderful.
Really.
So you've got Mr. Paul Mason coming up. Well, coming up after 1 o'clock, you've got standing in for John Holmes all week. Thank you very much.
Not all week. He's back on Thursday.
Well, we might let him in the building. We might prefer to keep you. See, John, if you're listening, yeah, you've got competition. I'll be back at 10 o'clock tomorrow morning. Thank you very much indeed. Do stay tuned at Talk Radio for Jake Yap after one.
Talk Radio. Talk and entertainment across the nation.
Talk Radio.
Give it some lip.
All of us at QuickFit would like to say a big thank you. So with each promotional tyre you buy, we'll give you a spin of Jaffa's Wheel, where you could win 25% off aircon recharge, a free 40-point brake check, 20% off your service, and much more. So get down to your local QuickFit today. QuickFit. It's all about the service.
Life is full of deadlines. The deadline for that job application, the deadline for your tax return. And now, the Financial Conduct Authority is thinking about imposing a deadline for claiming missold PPI. So time could be running out for you to claim. Let PPI Claim Back do most of the work for you. We can check whether you've had PPI. If you haven't, it won't cost you a penny. Text PPI to 80039. That's PPI to 80039.
This year, Armed Forces Day is Saturday the 25th of June. Take part and show your support for our armed forces, past and present. Visit armedforcesday.org.uk.
Euro 2016. Goal-scoring legends, red card villains, and returning champions. 10bet, premium sports betting. Over 22,000 live events every month. Hundreds of in-play and fast markets. Feel the excitement. Kick off with a first deposit bonus of up to £200. Play at 10bet.co.uk. That's 10bet.co.uk.
5 all levels of deposit and bonus required. Minimum deposit £15. Please gamble responsibly.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
A radio star is born.
You're going to love
Talk Radio. Talk Radio.
Yeah, just put my phone on silent. There we go. A very good afternoon to you. It's Jake Yap here sitting in for John Holmes. We'll kick the show off as soon as we've heard the latest news from Victoria Bourne.
Thanks, Jake. Coming up, a new warning of terror attacks at Euro 2016. Teens admit kidnapping a toddler from Primark, and the Playboy Mansion has been sold.
Talk Radio.
In the last hour, the government has warned fans travelling to Euro 2016 to be vigilant at all times because of the threat of terrorism. It says British counter-terror officers are playing a key part in planning against attacks that may target stadiums and fan zones. Lisa Louis, who's a journalist in Paris, has told Talk Radio a lot of people have concerns.
The government is saying, no, we're going to maintain the fan zones, that we're going to go ahead with this. They are adamant that they will be able to secure these zones. But there is a lot of doubt amongst policemen, but also amongst politicians, opposition politicians, who've been saying, can we really secure these zones?
Two teenage girls have admitted kidnapping a toddler from a Primark store in Newcastle. The two-year-old was eventually reunited with her mother an hour and 45 minutes later after the girls were traced on CCTV in April. The 13 and 14-year-old will be sentenced next month. Mike Ashley, the boss of Sports Direct, has told MPs that he's discovered what he calls issues at the retailer as part of an internal review. A committee is investigating working practices at the firm's warehouse in Derbyshire, including poor conditions, the use of controversial zero-hour contracts, and paying less than the minimum wage. Mr. Ashley says he welcomes the increased scrutiny.
I've got nothing to hide. Come on, will you find it 100% perfect? Of course you won't. You will find things out that I obviously don't know are going on or happening. I have no issues with this as an ongoing process, and I prefer it to be totally independent.
Three South Yorkshire police officers, two of which are still serving and to go on trial next year, accused of using a police helicopter to spy on naked people. A pilot also pleaded not guilty to charges of misconduct in a public office. An attack on a bus has killed at least 11 people in Istanbul. Seven officers and four others died in what's the fourth major bomb attack in the Turkish city this year. You have just 11 hours to register to vote if you want to have your say in the EU referendum later this month. The deadline is at midnight. And Hugh Hefner's billionaire neighbour has bought the Playboy mansion. Some reports suggest it went for roughly £76 million, which is significantly less than the £137 million asking price. One of the conditions of the sale is the 90-year-old can stay there until his death. Notorious nightclub owner Peter Stringfellow has told Talk Radio he used to have great respect for Hef.
He did fight the establishment, the moral ideas that you can't see girls with their clothes off in magazines, and he was right on the front line. And for that part, I used to respect him greatly and admire the man. But then I think he lost his way a little bit, and I can understand that, because I've been involved with girl clubs and beautiful girls around me all the time. It's something you can do.
Talk Radio National Weather.
Warm and sunny, but there's also a risk of torrential downpours, hail and thunder going into this afternoon and evening. Highs of 26 degrees.
Talk Radio Sports Update.
I'm Ben Fletcher. Good afternoon. England striker Daniel Sturridge insists having a young squad at Euro 2016 is a strength and not a weakness. Fullback Ryan Bertrand trained separately from the group at their base in Chantilly near Paris this morning as he continues to recover from a knock. England get their tournament underway on Saturday in Group B against Russia, and Sturridge says there's already a strong camaraderie among the players.
Genuinely good. Everyone gets on very well. There's no animosities or any bad vibes at all. Everyone's so happy. It's the best I've experienced. You know, even talking about playing at clubs as well. It's a strange feeling to be a part of something so special so far.
Elsewhere, Northern Ireland have suffered an injury scare ahead of their opener against Poland on Sunday after striker Carl Lafferty limped out of training with what appeared to be a groin injury. And Wales have doubts over Joe Ledley and Joe Allen ahead of their opener against Slovakia on Sunday. Finally, Jamie Vardy looks set to delay making a decision on his future until after the Euros. The Leicester striker is reportedly considering a move to Arsenal. That's your latest sports news powered by Talk Sports.
Talk Radio.
Coming up on Sky.
In small town America.
These things are everywhere. They're all around us.
Something is very wrong.
You may not believe it, but that doesn't make it any less true.
From the creator of The Walking Dead.
You want my advice? Run.
Starring Philip Glenister. Outcast.
I know you.
Starts tonight at 10 on Fox, Sky Channel 124.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Jake Yap on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
Very good afternoon to you. It's Jake Yap sitting in for John Holmes while he sits in waiting for a parcel delivery. It's a solid gold helicopter, apparently. Well, it's Talk Radio. I mean, it's big money. And apparently he doesn't trust his neighbours to sign for it ever since that incident with the barbecue and the fizzy hummus and the old ice cream tub. We've got a high-quality show for you this afternoon. We've got comedian Robin Morgan. He's going to be showing us the most unusual thing he ever found. We're putting summer footwear on trial in our kangaroo court. And Paul Mason will be explaining how Karl Marx kind of like predicted the internet like 150 years ago and went on to explain how it will like change Western society like forever. He also invented the beardy emoticon. Indindon, IDTINDT. All that and top bant with Brenda with her eye in the sky. Seven things you should never do to a sheep. And the 5-minute stomach pump workout with Mr. Irrigator. Okay, these last bits, they were just a joke. Okay, I'm having fun, okay? But what is life without fun? Welcome all along. It's Talk Radio.
What the hell is going on?
Indeed, in the immortal words of Donald Trump, what the hell is going on? This is a regular feature that we do, kind of regular when we get around to it. The idea is that we're sort of taking something that's in the news and it sort of floats about and you hear about it and you don't really know exactly what it means. You just sort of nod sage, you go, oh, yes, well, yes, 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 of course, and think, I don't really know what that's about. So the idea is we're going to find out what the hell's going on. We've done in the past things like neoliberalism, you know, one of those words you go, oh, yeah, that, thinking, I don't really know what that is. I mean, I'm speaking about myself, right? I don't know these.
Well, I studied politics and we did a course in neoliberalism.
Yeah?
And I got through it by going, oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, that's definitely a thing. We did Wahhabism as well. That was a bundle of lols. And really taking the premise that there's no such thing as a stupid question. We just ask, what the hell is going on? Well, I'm delighted to say that we are joined this afternoon on the line by Paul Mason. Hello, Paul. Well, I thought we were joined by Paul Mason. Are we joined by Paul Mason?
Yes, you are.
Oh, well, there we are.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you now. Yes. Hello. Thanks very much for joining us this afternoon. Now, you are, of course, a respected journalist and writer and that. And you've written extensively, well, you've written a whole book on post-capitalism.
I have. But I think we have to go back to this neoliberalism thing. If you're sick of it, you're going to get even more sick of it, because what I'm saying is that, look, the economic model that we're living in is broken. That's number one. I think many of your listeners can kind of get that.
Yeah.
You know, I've been travelling around Wales, you know, talking to people about my book. All they want to talk about is Brexit and migration. And when you ask them why, it's basically because they just don't think the economy is serving them, ordinary people. Yeah, as it should.
I have to just stop you because there's been you turn my fader up, Marta. Thanks very much. There's a
Brexit alert.
We're not allowed to talk about Brexit. They get very jumpy.
Oh no!
They get very jumpy, Paul. Very jumpy.
Really? Who's getting jumpy?
Well, talk. Basically, we just don't want to get sued for in any way influencing the vote. So,
oh, no, really? Okay, right, okay, but all right. There are people. Let me put it this way, then. There are a lot of people in the world very unhappy about their economic situation. Do we agree on that?
I think we totally agree on that.
Right, okay. Now, what my idea is that there's something deeply wrong with the economic model that we're trying to make work. It's about low pay, it's about stagnant wages, it's about people constantly having to borrow to make ends meet. Yeah. And what I say is, when I hear politicians say, oh, well, we can put this right with a few more high-value jobs, is what they often say, or let's get some investment in a motorway. That's what's happening here in Wales at the moment, in Cardiff.
Yeah.
I say no, because there's something more fundamentally broken than we think.
Okay.
The problem is, information technology has made the normal kind of setting things to right impossible.
Okay. Before we get onto that and how that works, let's sort of take it step by step. Now, conventional wisdom is that with capitalism, you tend to get this 20, 25-year cycle, right, of kind of boom and bust. And people would argue that looking at the traditional model, right now we're in a sort of bust phase and we're slowly recovering,
we're
right?
Definitely in the bust phase, yeah.
Yeah, and we're slowly recovering. Is that what's happening?
No, we're not slowly recovering. Our own Bank of England chief, Mark Carney, said in Shanghai in March, what's emerging is a low-growth equilibrium. That is, there's going to be low growth, almost zero inflation, and you know, zero interest rates. Now, this is not capitalism. It's not capitalism as we knew it. And therefore, what people in the know are worried about is that it doesn't recover. It doesn't really recover for 50 years. We end up with very, very slow growth. And all these towns in the Welsh valleys and in the Midlands and the east of England and in, you know, parts of Scotland, they never recover. So we're not looking at a normal cycle. We're looking at something abnormal. And what I've traced it back to is information technology. You know, I love information technology. I think it's a life-transforming thing, but it's not creating value. It's not creating, like, high-value jobs that replace low-value ones. We could automate things, but new jobs don't emerge. And I think there's something kind of broken about the kind of recovery process of capitalism.
So effectively, what you're saying is that sort of information technology, what it does is it does a lot of the work that previously people used to do.
Yeah.
And so the problem is that that then sort of that information technology, it sort of doesn't have any part of the economic cycle, in that you don't pay a wage to a computer and you don't...
Yeah, and the computer doesn't buy things. I mean, we're not just talking about robots here. We're talking about artificial intelligence, so-called machine learning. Now, there's nothing to be frightened about these things. They could transform human life on the planet, and they could lead to a situation where we do much, much less work. The only problem is how we're going to live. And this is the question capitalism usually answers by creating new jobs, higher skills, better paid jobs, and then better, as you might just to put it simply, dearer things. So, right. You know, the vaudeville theatre is replaced by the movie theatre, and right. The movies were more expensive and more expensive to make. But it's not doing that. Not fast enough, anyway, to right. replace the jobs it's going to destroy over the next 25 years.
So what's going to happen, Paul?
Well, one of two things. Either we let it happen, we get a kind of neo-feudalism, like in that film, the one with Matt Damon, where all the rich people live on a kind of artificial planet.
Is that Elysium?
Elysium, yeah.
Yeah.
It'll be quite like that. Or we take history into our hands and we just basically say, right, we're going to de-link work from wages. The Swiss had a referendum. They lost on Sunday to start paying people what they call a basic income out of taxation.
Right, so this was this idea that everybody gets paid a presumably fairly small amount of money, regardless of whether they work or not.
Yeah, and what I see that as, you would then use that as a one-off subsidy for automation. You would then say to people, look, at the end, the reason you're going to need this is because there's not enough work. Right. But we can't summon, you know, we'd rather you do something interesting than, you know, have you kind of filling digging holes and filling them in again.
Yeah.
So let's do something, and then let's free up your free time to do something much more exciting.
Yeah. Do you not worry about the proliferation of guitar-based rock bands, Paul, under that model?
Guitar-based rock bands would be fantastic. Even better, voluntary creches, where nobody gets paid, but people just look after each other's kids, or voluntary, you know, kind of lunch clubs, or we suddenly have time to go, instead of parking our elderly people in homes and visiting them once a month, we suddenly have time to visit them once a day and maybe do a little bit of work with them. The thing is, it's hard to imagine now, but we're going to have to imagine it, because not only is it might be really necessary, but all around us, it's becoming possible. There is what the post-capitalist bit of what I argue is that right now there is a kind of extra bit of the economy. Think about things like Wikipedia that economics doesn't want to see. But you know, probably everybody listening to this will interact with Wikipedia. You know, if they're online in the next few days, but they're not paying for it. Who writes it? Somebody writes it for free.
Yeah,
and I want us to do more of that. And I want us to do less of creating, you know, really, really low-paid drudgery jobs where people are getting ordered around left, right, and centre.
Right. I mean, you say this,
don't give you any fulfilment.
But in a way, I mean, it's a lovely thought. Some people, though, I think might say that, you know, this information and its abundance and this transformation, it could have very interesting repercussions for kind of middle class people who can kind of work with it and stuff. But what discernible effect would this have on someone producing runner beans in Gambia or working in a biscuit factory in Dundee?
Okay, well, it's wrong to think that the middle classes are going to survive the mass automation of work. You know, there's lots of experts, more expert than me, who've done the studies, predict that, you know, things like lawyers are going to get, a certain section of lawyers will end up being automated. They're already working with automated, you know, artificial intelligence software to take decisions. That software will replace them. So, what it will mean is, actually, you know, there's a certain kind of work that's really nice. If you work in a video games design lab, you know, there's a guitar on the wall, there's probably a dog curled up in the corner, you can play table football a bit, do a bit of work, work till midnight. Yeah. It's very rewarding. Why can't we redesign factory biscuit work like that? The only reason is because the people working in those factories are having to work for such low wages. Nobody needs to redesign the work to make it more fulfilling, because the people, you know, we're hearing Sports Direct in the Parliament right now give you evidence. It's horrible, that kind of work, and nobody cares. We should care about it.
In your book, I think you talk about the sort of abundance of information. You say, you know, we're loaded with it, and it's free, all of this information and data that we can then use in useful ways. Is it not the case that corporations are going to find a way to lock it up, aren't they? I mean, you know, you've had things like the net neutrality thing for, you know, all of these things. Corporations are desperately trying to staunch this flow, aren't they?
I think a lot of corporations have a business model and a market valuation that is based on the idea that they do keep information expensive and private to them, whereas we want to share it. But even now, you know, the beginnings of a change are happening. Some cities in Europe are saying, you know, no more to Uber. Some cities in Europe are saying no more to big companies owning all the data that comes out of, say, a public transport system, and let's make it public, you know, not anonymized, but public, so that people can, everybody can work on that data. Right. So there is a battle, and if you want to know where I think that battle will end up, just say the word BlackBerry. Who's got one these days? It was a monopoly once, doesn't exist hardly anymore. Monopolies fall. And what we can replace them with is collaborative and shared models of business that I think many people, even in business, this is not a big communist thing, many people even in business are saying the future is a mixture of the private sector and a collaborative sector where stuff is built for free.
Very quickly, because we're running late now, did anyone predict that this would happen?
Yeah, well, Karl Marx, as you said, he kind of did predict it. I mean, totally. We don't know what he was on at the time, because it was probably 4 a.m. It's scrawled, it's in a notebook, it was never published in his lifetime. But he did basically say one day, machines will embody social knowledge, and there'll be a kind of general intelligence. And once that happens, any attempt to keep knowledge private will blow up, and that will be the end of capitalism. He didn't write it anywhere else. We know he smoked some very exotic cigars, you know, but basically he did dream of that. Machines that last forever and cost nothing, he writes about. Well, you know, that's software.
Right.
I mean, he didn't describe it all. He didn't predict the internet, but he knew what the telegraph looked like. He knew the telegraph was kind of a network and it had special qualities. So, yeah.
Paul, I could talk to you about this until 4 a.m. Sadly, I'm not allowed to. It's a fascinating subject, and I'm sure there'll be lots more to say about it. If people want to read more, they should read your book. I'm guessing it's a free download, right, with the free information? No, where can
it... there is a 4,000-word summary of it on the Guardian website for free.
I read it.
But no, I bet there is a free download of it somewhere as well. I don't know where it is.
What's the book called?
The book's called Post-Capitalism, A Guide to Our Future.
Brilliant. Paul Mason, it's been a lovely privilege to talk to you today. Thanks a lot.
Great.
That was Paul Mason. After the break, we're going to be finding out a little bit more on this topic with Martin Parker. He's a professor of culture and organisation at Leicester University.
Talk radio. Intelligent, organic entertainment.
Talk radio.
We'll get you talking.
Time is pretty precious when you're Ryan Reynolds. I drink all my meals. And I only have friends with really short names. Hey, Jay.
What's up?
That's why I've got BT Infinity. It now offers speeds of up to 52 megabits per second. The fastest standard fiber speeds. I also don't have time for underwear. I'm going commando right now.
BT Infinity. Fast just got faster. Visit bt.com/infinity to find out more.
83% UK coverage, £49 activation and £7.95 hub delivery. Comparison versus standard entry-level fiber products of major broadband providers. Up to speeds depending on time of day, line and location.
44,000 UK men will be diagnosed with prostate cancer in the next 12 months. Prostate Cancer UK has one ambition: to help stop men dying from prostate cancer. With your help, we can make prostate cancer a disease the next generation of men needn't fear. Search Men United and join the fight now.
Life is full of deadlines. The deadline for that job application. The deadline for your tax return. And now, the Financial Conduct Authority is thinking about imposing a deadline for claiming missold PPI. So time could be running out for you to claim. Let PPI Claimback do most of the work for you. We can check whether you've had PPI. If you haven't, it won't cost you a penny. Text PPI to 80039. That's PPI to 80039.
Talk Radio, Traffic and Travel.
In Cambridgeshire, the A47 is closed off in both directions between the A1 at Wansford and Nen Parkway at Peterborough following an accident. It is causing queues back up Stoke Parkway. Now, a couple of problems in Kent. Roadworks causing delays on the A21 between Tonbridge and Tunbridge Wells, and the traffic lights are not phasing properly on the A2 at Liddenhill. While in West Sussex, the A27, a broken down lorry at Wick Street, is causing lengthy delays back towards the Beddingham roundabout. I'm Jamie Sercombe.
The Paul Ross Full Set Breakfast, tomorrow morning from 6 on Talk Radio.
Having trouble getting an appointment with your GP surgery? Fret not, my pets, because on the next Full Set Breakfast, the doctor is in, and not just any old doctor, Dr. Truman, him off EastEnders, Nick Bailey, with me, Paul Ross. And if he's busy, I'm not a doctor, but I'll have a look.
The Paul Ross Full Set Breakfast,
tomorrow morning from 6
on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Jake Yap on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
Well, people seem to have enjoyed Paul Mason's contribution so far today. Ed on Twitter says, fascinating stuff from Paul Mason. David Yu says, wow, intelligent conversation on UK radio, shock. More like this, please. Sorry, we're debating footwear after 3 o'clock. But, you know, it's good to open with your strongest joke. In the meantime, we're still asking.
Laura.
No, we're not asking that. Honestly, it's a new laptop. I'm figuring it out.
What the hell is going
there
on?
There we go. Slick. Very slick. What the hell is going on? We're talking about post-capitalism. So just now we spoke to Paul Mason and he outlined this vision for the future where information technology means that people don't have to do very much work. And his ideal scenario is that everyone is kind of freed up to do better things like look after old people or young people. And you have a society that's not predicated on money. But instead on sort of just being useful and helping each other. Well, listening to all of that was Martin Parker. He's Professor of Culture and Organisation at Leicester University. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Jake.
So, in terms of what Paul Mason was saying, did it make sense to you?
It certainly makes sense, yes. I mean, some of the ideas that Paul's exploring in his book are ideas that have been around for a little while now. As Paul mentioned, they're mentioned by Marx 150 years ago.
Yeah.
But more recently, lots of people have been talking about the idea that somehow we're going to be moving to societies that are based on information, knowledge, data, and so on, rather than great big piles of cash, which, of course, is the productive power of capitalism.
Yeah. Is this a bit utopian in that it was Tony Benn, the late Tony Benn, he observed, actually, particularly in times of recession, he says, everyone thinks that when there's a recession, everyone's going to swing to the left. And actually, that's not what happens. In times of recession, everyone swings to the right. Everyone gets a little bit more kind of self-orientated. They want to sort of preserve themselves. Look at the popularity of Trump when he says, you know, we're not going to pay for this. We've got no money. People become less socially minded. And what Paul Mason's outlining is a very socially minded idea, right?
Well, is it really? I mean, sharing is mutual benefit, isn't it? I mean, it's not actually that utopian in a way. So at the moment, we basically have a form of economic and social order in which people who've got big piles of cash can rent that cash in exchange for more cash, and other people have to sell their labour. What Paul's suggesting is a society of kind of you scratch my back, I scratch yours, a sort of society of mutual gains, if you like.
Yeah.
So in that sense, it's not really about, you know, everybody being lovely to each other and being kindly and nice, although, you know, we could describe that society as being kind and nice. It's actually a fairly logical outcome of the kind of things that human beings do most of the time anyway, you know, our neighbours and our friends and so on, in terms of exchanging goods and services. You know,
yes.
You mend my car, I'll paint your ceiling, that kind of thing.
But that's the... sounds like a threat. the way I paint.
The way I mend cars, sorry.
Isn't there not a slight problem with... I always sort of say that I think people practice communism on a one-to-one level, i.e. you've lost your job, let me buy you a pint. Well, that's the basic principle of each according to his or her means, to each according to his or her needs. But people, of course, don't think of it as communism. But the trouble comes when you get people sort of saying, well, you know, I don't mean any disrespect, but I don't really care about people in another country or whatever. Like, people don't. They care about their family, they care about their tribe. But making them extend that in a sort of universal way can be very difficult, can't it?
Well, guess, again, I'm not quite sure that's what Paul's saying. I know in the trailer you kind of set him up as a communist or something.
I never said that. I never said he was a communist.
Somebody did. Somebody did in the trailer. But I'm not quite sure it's an accurate description in a way. In that, if we accept a version of a communist society, which is everybody caring about everybody else, and I'm not actually sure that's what Marx says anyway, but really what Paul's describing is a kind of a small-scale doing favours for each other kind of economy. Yeah? So, you know, rather than having large organisations that provide services for us that we pay to and they make enormous profits and all the rest of it, the idea is kind of scaling it down, making these kinds of relationships much more local. Now, we don't require that we are simply nice to each other in order for that to work. We require that you've got something that I need and I've got something that you need.
So it is a transaction that we're talking about, I guess.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I think so. I mean, I really like that description of buying, you know, buying an unemployed person a pint as communism. But that kind of suggests a sort of that this is about charity and fellow feeling and all the rest of it. And,
right.
And I don't think that's the kind of economy that Paul's describing.
And is there any evidence that anything like this is happening already?
Well, yes, there is, to some respect. I mean, one of the tricky things about getting any data on this stuff is, of course, that much of what we might describe to be a mutual economy, an economy of favours and all the rest of it, is stuff that by definition doesn't leave trails in formal economic statistics.
Right.
So we can easily argue that an awful lot of this stuff goes on anyway in terms of the informal economy of favours, people looking after other people's kids or, you know, cash in hand work or, you know, some band playing in a pub and whatever it might be. You know, lots of stuff that basically just doesn't hit the formal economic indicators that we might see. So yes, we could certainly say that's the case. Where Paul is extending the theory really is in terms of the idea that specifically information technology is allowing different kinds of relationships to emerge. The sharing of information, it's almost this sort of idea that it's a bit like the sort of first Jurassic Park, isn't it? Life will find a way. Information will find a way. Yeah,
right.
That information will simply leak and become free and a public good and all the rest of it.
And there are now, aren't there? There are all kinds of apps and websites which are doing this, but they don't sort of formally call it that. There are time banks where people will give their time and get other people's time back. There are people who'll do sort of, they'll rent their dogs out to people who quite like the idea
that's
of walking a dog from time to time, but don't want to own a dog.
Yeah.
Dog banks.
Right. Yeah, exactly, yeah. I mean, you know, there are other things. I mean, you know, a variety of people have been writing about post-capitalism. Other people have suggested that when we're talking about post-capitalism, we're almost talking about encouraging all these sort of green shoots of alternative economic practices to grow and become more visible, because they already exist in lots of places. They might not be shouting their existence in quite the way that, you know, Amazon and Google do, but nonetheless, you know, it's easy enough to talk about all sorts of cooperative and mutual and complementary currencies and time banks and all the rest of it. Lots of these things are happening already. So in a sense, I think it might be making that activity more visible. Yeah.
Right, right. And actually, I suppose people actually taking an interest in it and seeing it as perhaps an emerging
that's right.
Model,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, that's right. And if I can jump on my particular hobby horse here, I work in a management school at the University of Leicester, and one of the things that really pains me about the kind of teaching and research that goes on within management is that it doesn't very often make those alternatives visible. You know, it concentrates on big corporations and corporate strategy and corporate finance and all the rest of it, but does very little stuff on the kind of alternative economy things that Paul is talking about. And I think that's a major problem, because, of course, if the places where business knowledge are being reproduced, i.e. business schools, don't recognise a particular form of activity, then it's harder and harder for anybody to see it and do anything about it.
Well, it's very rare that you get to talk about a sort of topical story and sort of say, well, it'll be very interesting to see how the next 30 years pan out.
indeed it would.
But thank you very much indeed for talking about it today. That was Martin Parker, Professor of Cultural and Organisation at the Management School of the University of Leicester. I'm going to attempt to do some satire on Brexit after we... I know, right? Terrifying for management. After we catch up with the latest news headlines with Victoria Bourne.
Talk Radio.
The Foreign Office has issued new advice warning football fans travelling to Euro 2016 about the potential for a terror attack. It says stadiums, fan zones, transport hubs and other venues could potentially be targets for extremists. Security expert Will Geddes has told Talk Radio France has increased its security after November's attacks.
But they're still under a state of emergency, so there will be military, special forces and all the various elements that they can bring together to obviously protect fans. And in total, across the 10 locations, there are going to be 90,000 plus police and security in various shapes and forms, obviously providing protection around both the stadium and those fan zones.
Two teenagers have admitted kidnapping a toddler from a Primark shop in Newcastle. The girls aged 13 and 14 were tracked by CCTV after they snatched the two-year-old in April. The boss of Sports Direct, Mike Ashley, has been questioned by MPs over the treatment of workers at his stores. He's admitted staff at the company were paid below the minimum wage. The United Nations says 10,000 people have now died trying to cross the Mediterranean to reach Europe since 2014. According to the UN's Refugee Agency, more than 2,800 have lost their lives so far this year. And people in Prince's hometown of Minnesota are being encouraged to wear purple to mark what would have been his 58th birthday. The state's governor, who's describing it as Prince Day, has praised the singer for his revolutionary music and iconic identity. The star died in April from an accidental overdose. The weather, warm and sunny, but turning wet with a risk of some torrential downpours and thunder this afternoon and this evening. Highs of 26 degrees is more in half an hour.
Greetings, Earthlings. We come in peace. We wish to communicate with your leader.
I'm Howard Hughes. Join me this Sunday night from 10 for a trip into the outer limits.
Untwist the lid on Talk Radio's specimen jar of the psychic, the supernatural, and the simply unexplained.
The Unexplained with Howard Hughes. Sunday night from 10, Earth Time, on Talk Radio.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Jake Yap on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
It is indeed Jake Yap, and a very good afternoon to you. I'm sitting in for John Holmes today and tomorrow. And then John Holmes is back. We've got some real-world parenting coming up with Hazel Newhouse, she's got an innovative solution to lavatory paper. Cornelius.
Oh, I don't want to hear it.
Yeah, it's good. But first, I thought I'd share with you. This is a thing that I normally do the Sunday breakfast show, right?
Yes.
On the network. And I thought I would share with you a story. We do a thing on the Sunday breakfast show. We have like Britain's second longest running soap opera on the radio currently. There's quite a lot of caveats, but it's still impressive, I think. And it's sort of just a sort of fun, topical bit of fun, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's set in the fictitious town of Chipping Norchester. Entirely fictitious. Any resemblance to any person's living or dead is entirely coincidental. But I saw this story in the Daily Mail today, the ex-manager of Ozzy Osbourne has said that the breakup... You heard about the split, right? Between Ozzy Osbourne and Sharon Osbourne.
Yeah.
Something to do with a hairdresser, I think.
Yeah.
Well, rumours that Ozzy Osbourne had cheated on his wife of 34 years with a hairdresser led to claims that Ozzy Osbourne had been kicked out of the £7 million marital mansion last month. But the rock star's former manager believes the alleged split with wife Sharon is nothing more than a publicity stunt. What? To boost ticket sales for his upcoming tour. And of course, doesn't necessarily harm Sharon Osbourne's profile.
No. You know,
keeps her very much in the forefront of people's minds.
It's a weird reaction, though, isn't it?
It is a weird reaction.
To sort of go, oh, what? They're splitting up. Oh,
yeah.
I should go and see Ozzy then.
The guy's a legend.
How he is.
Yes. I think they'll probably have to put up some sort of net across the front of the stage to stop things being thrown at him. So really, it's difficult trying to do satire in the current climate because it's mainly all about Brexit, and we're not allowed to talk about Brexit. As you know, we cannot talk about Brexit.
You simply cannot.
You just please don't even say the word. So the story that Sharon Osbourne is returning to The X Factor, you know, it's quite big news.
Yes.
If you work in satire at the moment, and there is nothing you can talk about that doesn't involve death or Brexit. I thought I would play this week's episode of The Setters. It's another chance to listen. So if you're ready, it's time to head off to the fictional town of Chipping Norchester. It seems the old gang is back. Louis Walsh, Sharon Osbourne, and of course, lovely Dermot O'Leary. Are you a fan, Cornelius, of Dermot?
Big fan. Big fan of Dermot.
Me too. So let's see how all of that's going down in the fictional, mark you, fictional village of Chipping Norchester.
It's time to face the music. In the nightmare for satirists across the country as they refrain from commenting in any way that could be seen as prejudicing the outcome of The Brex Factor. Please welcome back your host, who wouldn't come first in a talent pool of one, Dermot. Oh, Christ, he's back, is he? Leary. Welcome to The Brex Factor, the satirical elephant in the room that we're not allowed to comment on until June the 24th, at which point every comedian in the country will be giving it both barrels, like squeezing a massive satirical spot filled with angry comedy pus. It's great to be back on The Brex Factor! Yes, thank you, yes, I'm really, yes, thank you very much. Yes, yes, I was on a million quid a series a couple of years ago. God knows what I've got out of them now. Not bad work for a chancer who does no better a job than your mate down the pub and has no discernible ability whatsoever other than putting my arms around people and calling them fella. Well done, fella. Earlier this evening, you heard David Cameron and Michael Gove sing their hearts out for exactly 127 seconds each. You watched the cutesy backstory packages that lasted exactly the same amount of time, had the same number of references to bittersweet memories of dead relatives who loved to sing, and both, of course, featuring the song Fix You by Coldplay on in the background. But now, it's the moment of truth, lighting cue. Dum-dum. Judges. Cameron or Gove, who for you was the winner? Louis.
Well, Blink, Blink, I'd have to say this one time, that for me...
Let me remind you, Louis, about the very strict rules on impartiality.
Oh, yeah. You both owned it, Blink, Blink, in equal measure.
Thank you, Louis. Sharon, nice to have you back. Well done for getting all those stories placed in the papers over the last few months to boost your profile.
Thank you, Dermot. First of all, can I say I'm sad neither of you is a woman, because I like wagging my fingers at them and calling them misses. In all honesty, I thought that tonight you were as bad as each other.
Yeah, well done, Sharon. Interchangeable generic female will stick in a skip in another couple of series if we last that long.
Yes,
You're not interested. Simon.
Yeah. First of all, let me just stick my thumb against my temple with my fingers spread out so I look like a one-antlered moose. Tried at home. I didn't like what you both did out there tonight. No, I loved it.
There you go, you're both winners and losers in equal measure. We'll be back next week for more attempts to deliver a weekly satirical review when we're not allowed to touch pretty much the only news story that doesn't involve people dying. We'll see you next week!
Well, who knows what fun challenges await us all next Sunday. Why don't you try not to fall off the edge of your seat between now and then when we catch up with the next episode of The Setters. Did you enjoy that, Cornelius?
Yeah, it's great.
Oh,
good voice.
It's very nice of you. It's a bit needy of me to ask, really. We've got Honest Parenting coming up. Hazel Newhouse is going to tell us her her solution to the perennial problem of nappies and lavatory paper. I'm sorry, Cornelius.
It's not. I just don't think there's much of a problem there.
Hey, do you cook? You do cook?
Yeah, big cook. I cooked yesterday. I cooked fish cakes. I just put them in the oven yesterday.
Okay.
You know, I laid them on salad.
Nice.
Yeah.
It's all about, because do you know what? You eat with your eyes. And that's why I very rarely eat crisps, because it's so stingy when you're pushing them through the socket. In The Sun on page 17, do you ever fry stuff?
Yes.
Mm. How old's your frying pan?
It's brand new.
Really? Is it nonstick?
Less than a week, yeah, nonstick.
Mm. Do you ever use like forks on it? Or?
I use a plastic fish slice.
Good boy.
I know exactly.
We had that conversation last week about Ben Fogel and the fish slice paradox.
Yeah.
Four dishwashers Fogel. Unbelievable.
Unbelievable.
No cupboards for his crockery. Well, apparently, according to The Sun, millions of Brits are at risk from dangerous old frying pans. Researchers warned yesterday. They've become sentient. And they, no. A poll found that 62% regularly fry food with 37%. Yeah, well, what are the other 38? 37% of the 62%, I can't work all of this out, they use blistered, peeling or scratched pans, which apparently can give off poisonous fumes and overheat quickly.
Yeah,
Personally, I like it. When you see those little black flecks in the bottom, you know, on your whatever you've just fried, it's, you know, you can pretend it's like bistro seasoning. It looks like, you know, freshly ground black pepper, and I can pretend I'm a gourmet.
Gives your dinner a backstory.
It certainly does. Yeah, that's heritage Teflon, that is. After the break, we've got some honest parenting advice.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
A new kind of talk radio. We'll get you talking.
Is your chili con carne more like chili con carnage? Your fondue more of a fondote? Then you really need to listen to The Recipe of the Day on Talk Radio with Encona. This Saturday morning from 8, join Penny Smith and a top chef special guest as they demonstrate a fresh and flavoursome new recipe guaranteed to give you kitchen kudos. Plus, answer a cookery question at talkradio.co.uk/competitions to win a hamper of Encona goodies. The Recipe of the Day on Talk Radio in association with Encona. Banish the bland.
Join Sky with any TV bundle from £20 a month and get a free 32-inch LG TV. A free TV? Incredible! Did I say that out loud? Catch Sky Atlantic's must-see shows, including Billions, and get a free TV when you join Sky from £20 a month. Hurry, offer ends Thursday. Search Sky Bundles. Sky, believe in better.
Direct debit subject to status. Upfront £10 standard setup. Minimum contract and further terms apply.
Come on, lads! Oh, God, better take this. Hello! Hello! Oi! Pipe down, you lot. I'm on a business call. Cheers. Hello!
With eReceptionist, all calls are answered and can be diverted to a colleague to suit your schedule. So with eReceptionist on your side, you'll never miss a business call. Or the game, for that matter. For a free 30-day trial, head to ereceptionist.co.uk. Usage conditions apply. Cancel any time within 30 days.
Come on!
Talk Radio, traffic and travel.
In Cambridgeshire, the A47 is closed off in both directions between the A1 at Wandsford and Nen Parkway at Peterborough following an accident. It is causing queues back up Stoke Parkway. Now, a couple of problems in Kent. Roadworks causing delays on the A21 between Tonbridge and Tunbridge Wells, and the traffic lights are not phasing properly on the A2 at Liddenhill. While in West Sussex, the A27, a broken down lorry at Wick Street, is causing lengthy delays back towards the Beddingham roundabout. I'm Jamie Sercombe.
The Brothers Gould. Tonight from 7 on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
A seamless transition between tea time and twilight with the legendary Brothers Gould. Destined to become the nation's favourite radio family. Tall Tales and Telephone Trouble with the Brothers Gould. Featuring Johnny Gould and Ash.
Get caught in two-way family crossfire with me, Johnny Gould, and him, Ash.
You all right, Bubba?
On Talk Radio.
It's a brother load of back check, bravado and banging entertainment.
Tonight from 7
on Talk Radio. Keeping it in the family. With the Brothers Gould.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Jake Yap on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
Good afternoon to you. It's 16 minutes. I don't care. It's Jake Yap sitting in for John Holmes. Something we've been doing is honest parenting as a sort of regular feature. Sort of trying to get some real world advice for parents. None of this sort of, you read all the books and stuff and all this sort of ideal stuff about, oh, you should crochet a new thing for your baby every morning as a fresh stimulator. Never mind all that. I'm not doing it. It's not even possible. If you blitz cucumber and bran, it makes a healthy snack. No, it doesn't. It's not going to work. Get real. So we've been talking to some refreshingly honest parents over the last few days. And today it's time to talk to blogger and mother Hazel Newhouse. And let me be very clear. OK, when I say blogger and mother, I'm only saying that because the mother thing is very relevant to this. I'm not doing that whole thing because no one ever says, oh, astronaut and father Tim Peake, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I'm just saying it's particularly relevant in this instance. Hazel Newhouse, hello.
Hello, you all right?
I'm all right, thanks very much. Now let's start by painting a picture of your setup.
Right,
Hazel, okay. How many children do you have, how old are they, and how much are you drinking on a daily basis?
On a daily basis, I drink about 3 bottles of wine, and I do co-show something for my baby every single day, just to let you know.
Of course you
do. Okay. I've got 3 children. I've got Willow, she's 4.
Yeah.
I've got Olive, who turns 3 next weekend.
Oh.
And I've got a 1-year-old as well.
So
I have 3 in 3 years. To the day. Willow and Ivy show a birthday.
3 in 3 years?
Yes.
That is quite hardcore.
Which is why I drink.
So, I was wondering, my little boy, Spike, he turns 3 this month, and we're doing this sort of potty training thing, and I'm slightly conscious of the mountains of nappies and, frankly, lavatory paper that have been used in this endeavour of, you know, just his first 3 years of life have involved, I mean, I'm genuinely frightened to think, you've got to be talking about 2 or 3 trees worth of material, right? That we've got to do all of this. And I wondered if there was any... There's no way around this, is there?
No, not at all. Well, I've got 3 girls.
Okay.
As I mentioned earlier, and obviously myself.
Yeah.
And my poor husband. Now, having 4 girls in a house going to the toilet several times a day, especially when you're potty training and you're taking them there every 30 seconds to get them to go to the toilet, you use a lot of toilet paper.
Yeah.
So
can I just check? Have you got 1 lavatory?
I've got 2.
Okay, thank goodness.
Does that make me sound posh? I don't have more than 2.
Oh, it's 2 lavatories, Hazel!
I know.
Unbelievable.
I know. So that's twice the amount of toilet paper.
Yeah.
No, not really, but it is, yeah. So when Willow was first born, we started using cloth nappies. And
you used what, sorry?
Cloth nappies.
Cloth nappies, okay.
Yes, cloth nappies. So we went down the whole reusable route. And we fell in love with it, and we stuck with it 24/7, 100%.
Right.
And then when our second came along, we used cloth again for her, and again for the third.
Right.
And we took the sort of journey slightly further by getting rid of baby wipes.
Okay.
And I started cutting up towels and turning those into wipes, which we just store dry, and then we wet them and use them as need be, as you would a normal baby wipe. And then I just put it in the washing machine along with the nappies.
Right.
So from that, we wondered, where could we go further?
Oh, Hazel.
And the next obvious route, yes, was toilet paper. Toilet paper.
Okay.
Or un-toilet paper, as I should now call it, because it just doesn't exist in our house. We do not buy toilet paper.
You don't?
And we've done this...
Okay.
Not at all. And we've done this for a year now, just over a year now. So the baby wipes then became toilet paper wipes. So I started making more. And I went to the local haberdashery and bought some really pretty patterns and nice cotton and cut them into squares.
Right.
And we literally use them the same as I would the baby wipes, the cloth baby wipes.
Okay.
So for number ones and number twos, if you want to, you can wet them first under the tap and clean yourself up.
Yeah.
Whatever you have done. And then they go in the dirty box, because you have a dirty box next to the toilet.
Mm-hmm.
And they get put in the washing machine, along with the nappies as well.
Wow.
Simple. That's all it took. And it's nothing special. It's nothing clever. It's not taking a crazy skill, like crocheting baby items every single day. It literally is just cutting up old towels, old T-shirts, old bedding.
Yeah.
You can sew them if you want to make them look nice and pretty, or you can leave them jagged, because we like things a bit rough in this house. And we just use them as we do. Yeah, that's it, basically. Really easy. Really easy.
This is perfect lunchtime listening. Do you ever, like, I'm guessing you'd never go back now. Do you know how much money you've saved in the last year?
I genuinely have no idea.
It's not cheap, is it, toilet paper?
When we were buying toilet paper, we weren't looking at the price. You know, you sort of know the brand that you like, you go in, maybe...
No, I'm a floating wiper. I'm a floating wiper. I'm sorry, that's a...
Wait, that could mean 2 things.
I'll go with anyone. Well, I mean, you know, I have no loyalty to any specific brand. Not at all.
That's refreshing.
You say I'm refreshing, says the woman who chops up curtains to wipe her bum with.
No, I haven't used curtains yet.
Yeah,
used curtains yet.
I was going to invite you around my house, but I
really
fear for my blinds. Do you, here's a question, right? Because obviously this is normality for your children. They've never really consciously known anything different. Do you ever have to go round to other people's houses and, like, do they kind of go, Mummy, where's the dirty box?
No, but Olive, the middle child, quite often when we're in public toilets, she shouts quite loudly, "Do I put it down the toilet?" And I have to remind her, yes, yeah, it doesn't go in my handbag like the others normally do.
Now, has this come from, I'm interested, has this come from, like, an economic thing, like a financial thing, an environmental thing, or actually do you feel cleaner? There's all those adverts talking about how clean, I always feel so clean.
Yeah, like the TV advert that does. it probably comes from all three of those things, actually. There is an environmental factor in there. We do try to live as self-sufficiently as possible. We don't like to create waste. We keep our black bin mass down as low as it can be.
Yeah.
And it's even, obviously, less so with no nappies in there, no baby wipes in there, and no toilet paper, obviously, going down the drain.
Yeah.
So we have that conscious thought there that we're not adding any more pollution to the planet.
Yeah.
But of course, the main part of it did come from saving money, which only ever stemmed from when we had our first baby and we wanted to save money on nappies. And it's just grown and grown and grown from that. We do feel cleaner because you are. You can, if you want to. I mean, you can use them dry if you like. you do are washing your backside every time you go to the toilet.
Yeah. Well, I always use sandpaper. The thing is, with lavatory paper, right? I used to fret about it, you know, the sort of environmental impact of it. I once got given a guided tour of a sewage plant.
Oh, right.
It's one of the best days of my life. And no, Cornelius, trust me, it was amazing. What they're doing with lavatory paper is incredible. Because
this makes me really naive because I genuinely have never ever looked into it.
Well, let me hit you with some knowledge.
Tell me.
What happens is everything comes in through the sewage pipe, right? And then there's this special machine which scoops the used lavatory paper. I'm sorry. Happy lunchtime, everyone. I do hope you finished. It scoops the lavatory paper out of the water. And what they're doing now is they're drying it and they're burning it to generate electricity.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, so that's quite cool.
Yeah.
So it's not actually totally being wasted, okay.
It's less depressing than you'd think. I was thinking, you know, maybe we should just be flushing kindling down the... I don't know. but, you know, it's not... For so many, maybe it's not as bad as you think, but I do admire what you've done. When you think about it, if you were to stack up all the lavatory rolls of paper that you'd use in a year, that's got to be quite a lot of stuff.
I just think, especially, like I say, a house full of girls, that soon... adds up a lot more than people I can imagine would think. But we really enjoy it now. We really enjoy it. And
you enjoy
there
it?
There is an emerge. Yeah, we do. We enjoy it. It's fun. It's quite nice to see that we're not just throwing more and more stuff away. But I must admit, I have got a confession. We do have an emergency roll at the back of the airing cupboard.
Oh, here we
go. Someone comes over. Yes. Yeah.
Oh, right. You have guest paper.
We have guest paper. It's the cheapest of the cheap. It's blue and white value.
Amazing. So.
But no, my friends are used to it now. They come over. They know what's going on in there. They're quite happy to do it.
I feel weird leaving my... Anyway, look, we should move on from this. This is unbelievable. Do you have any other... What sort of style of parenting would you say you deploy generally, Hazel?
I'm quite lazy.
You're quite lazy.
I'm a lazy parent. As I'm on the phone to you now, my children are out in the garden.
Yeah.
Probably eating chicken poo or pulling up my vegetables. But, you know, they're happy, they're fine. You know, as long as they've got a smile on their face at the end of the day, I do not mind.
Yeah.
As long as they're not in danger. I don't like that. I do panic slightly when Ivy's still on the coffee table or climbing up the bookcase. But, no, I am a relaxed parent. And I think with that, I get more time to crochet baby items and make toilet paper.
Nice. I can tell you right now that everyone here cannot wait to get invited round to your house. And
bring your own paper if you like.
I am curious. I'm sort of curious now. There's a little bit of me that's a little bit curious now. Hazel Newhouse, thank you so much for talking to us this afternoon.
You're very welcome.
If people, because you've been on the Huffington Post about this story, haven't you?
I have. Yeah, the HuffPost covered this about 6 months ago.
Yeah.
It went down. Interestingly, there was quite a lot of backlash towards it, but no, it was good. I like spreading the word about it because even if it just makes one more person think, hey, maybe we can stop buying toilet baby wipes,
yeah,
or nappies, then that I'm doing something good there, in my opinion.
Yeah.
I'm convincing people that they don't have to throw away their money to certain things and use that money to treat the kids, go buy an ice cream or
well,
something.
We did use reusable baby wipes, and they were actually really great. We tried the reusable nappies for a while. I feel like a bad person. I became a terrible person. But you know, should my little boy ever require like a padded bra, we've got the nappies to upcycle now.
You can stuff that. That's fine.
If people want to read more about your interesting life, Hazel, where should they go?
Go to www.thenewhousefamily.co.uk, and I cover lots of different topics on there, not just sort of eco living, but I do some cookery on there. I also do reviews of products, toy reviews and such as well.
Brilliant.
Lots of things on there. I cover everything.
I don't want to think about that. Hazel, thank you so much for talking to us today.
You're welcome. You're welcome. And I'll see you soon.
All right. Take care. That was Hazel Newhouse. Interesting stuff there.
Sounds disgusting.
Okay. That's fine. It's quite an interesting story today in the Daily Star. I don't know if you heard of it. Have you heard about the Countdown controversy?
No, but I'd love to hear it because I love Countdown.
Well, TV game show Countdown has been found guilty of breaking broadcasting rules. And not just that one, you know, they always do the, oh, look at the letters that came up. not just that. Watchdog Ofcom investigated after a viewer's complaint about the Channel 4 programme. Host Nick Hewer and guest Mark Foster were found to have breached rules by discussing the Ideal Home Show and a cruise line. An Ofcom spokesman said, we found this programme broke broadcasting rules by promoting giving undue prominence to products and services.
It sickens me, Jake.
Yeah.
I was furious when I heard about this 3 seconds ago. I'm absolutely...
It's all you've been talking about for the last 5 seconds
now. It really has been. How the tenacity to think they can get away with that.
Incredible.
It's disgusting.
That Hewer's got some brass neck. Hasn't it?
I'm calling for a boycott.
I guess it all started. I mean, cruises. I guess it all started when they said, "Can I have a consonant and a vowel, please?" And she came up with a P and O. I can't see what I can't see what else could have happened. Well, you know, these things happen, don't they? I read about that while I was drinking a delicious glassful of Bamo Cola. It's the great tasting drink that's ready for any time. You were enjoying some too, weren't you, Cornelius?
Yes, Bamo Cola.
It really is a refreshing and tasty drink available now in all good stockists. After the 2 o'clock news, we've got lots of stuff coming up for you. We're going to be talking about TV. I don't know what TV you watched last night. I watched Food Unwrapped and I watched Heathrow. Heathrow was a show all about sandwich making. Mainly for aeroplanes. Anyway, well, it's more interesting than it sounds, I promise you. Stay with us. After this, we're going to catch up with the latest news headlines.
Talk Radio.
We got entertainment, and we're not afraid to use it. Talk Radio.
It's a beautiful thing when little things come together. Life is in the details. The new Volvo V40R design with adaptive digital display, Thor hammer headlights and 17-inch diamond-cut alloys. Now all this and more from just £259 a month, including maintenance, with Volvo car leasing, with an initial rental of £259.
4-year contract hire agreement offer ends June 30th, subject to status. Mileage and return conditions apply. Optional maintenance covers routine servicing, tyres, replacement parts and repairs due to fair wear and tear. Visit volvocars.co.uk for more details.
Book a test drive today at your nearest Volvo showroom.
This year, Armed Forces Day is Saturday the 25th of June. Take part and show your support for our armed forces, past and present. Visit armedforcesday.org.uk.
Blue Circle Master Creek, 25 kilograms, just £3.94 a bag. Always everyday low prices at Trade Point. Excludes VAT at 20%. Trade on. Trade Point.
Euro 2016. Goal-scoring legends, red card villains, and returning champions. Tenbet, premium sports betting. Over 22,000 live events every month. Hundreds of in-play and fast markets. Feel the excitement. Kick off with a first deposit bonus of up to £200. Play at tenbet.co.uk. That's 1-0-bet.co.uk.
5-0 levels of deposit and bonus required. Minimum deposit £15. Please gamble responsibly.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Talk Radio. For those about to talk, we salute you. Talk Radio.
Later on this afternoon, we're going to be putting holiday summer footwear on trial in our kangaroo court. But first, let's catch up with the latest news headlines with the flip-flop wearing Victoria Bourne.
Thanks, Jake. Coming up, the Foreign Office issues Euro 2016 terror warning. Sports Direct boss is questioned by MPs. And a third of middle classes can't pay surprise bills.
Talk Radio.
Fans travelling to Euro 2016 are being warned to be on their guard against terrorists at all times. The Foreign Office says football venues and fan zones in France represent potential targets. France has been in a state of a national emergency since November's Paris attacks. Will Geddes is a security expert.
The intelligence agencies, obviously, in France have been working on this for a considerable period of time, obviously, running up to the tournament. And they've been, obviously, assessing where would be the most appropriate and securable locations, obviously, for the fan zones. In Paris, they're going to be assigning about 15,000 security officers.
Two teenage girls have admitted trying to kidnap a toddler from a Primark shop in Newcastle in April. The two-year-old was away from her mother for almost 2 hours before being tracked down 3 miles away using CCTV. Unite has made fresh complaints about what it's calling a culture of fear at Sports Direct's warehouse in Derbyshire. The union has been giving evidence to MPs, insisting workers at the discount retailer are being exploited. But the company's founder, Mike Ashley, has also been before the committee's welcomed an independent inquiry into the allegations.
If we are abusing it, then we deserve the cane. Simple as that. Sports Direct, if it abuses things, deserves the cane like any other company deserves the cane. And there will be occasions when we deserve the cane, no matter what I sit here and promise.
Time is running out. If you want to be eligible to vote in the in-out EU referendum, there are just 10 hours left to register before the polls open on Thursday, the 23rd of June. It's claimed millions of people would be unable to cope if faced with an unexpected bill. A study's found a third of middle-class workers would have to borrow £500 if they were told they had to shell out straight away. Nick Hill from the Money Advice Service has told Talk Radio he's not surprised.
People are spending for today rather than saving for tomorrow. Those little life events or big life events are going to hit all of us at some point. And so putting a bit of money aside can really put you in control.
And actress Jamie Lee Curtis turned up for the global premiere of Warcraft dressed as an orc. She's not even in the film, but put on green makeup, a burgundy gown and a horned headpiece for the red carpet event in LA.
Talk Radio National Weather.
Warm but turning cloudy this afternoon. There's also a risk of potentially torrential downpours. Highs of 26 degrees.
Talk Radio Sports Update.
I'm Ben Fletcher. Good afternoon. England striker Daniel Sturridge insists having a young squad at Euro 2016 is a strength and not a weakness. Fullback Ryan Bertrand trained separately from the group at their base in Chantilly near Paris this morning as he continues to recover from a knock. England get their tournament underway on Saturday in Group B against Russia, and Sturridge says there's already a strong camaraderie among the players.
Genuinely good. Everyone gets on very well. There's no animosities or any bad vibes at all. Everyone's so happy. It's the best I've experienced. You know, even talking about playing at clubs as well. It's a strange feeling to be a part of something so special so far.
Elsewhere, Northern Ireland have suffered an injury scare ahead of their opener against Poland on Sunday after striker Carl Lafferty limped out of training with what appeared to be a groin injury. And Wales have doubts over Joe Ledley and Joe Allen ahead of their opener against Slovakia on Sunday. Finally, Jamie Vardy looks set to delay making a decision on his future until after the Euros. The Leicester striker is reportedly considering a move to Arsenal. That's your latest sports news powered by TalkSport.
Talk Radio.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Jake Yap on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
Debate. Will you all sort out who's going to go and see the last leg with Adam Hills between you, the three of you? Honestly, Cass, Cornelius, Victoria.
I can't go anymore.
And I'm not invited still.
Well,
weird, isn't it?
Well, and yet, Cornelius told me he'd go with me ages ago.
To see Adam Hills.
To go watch the last leg, yeah. And then Cass was like, oh, I'd like to go. And I was like, well, maybe you can go and you can talk about it between you.
I only realised yesterday that I can't go.
Why didn't you tell me?
And where are you going instead, Con?
The Naked Restaurant.
Are you going to get everything out?
What's the Naked Restaurant?
It's a restaurant where you strip off.
Sounds like my lounge.
Are the chefs naked?
I don't know.
That could be a hazard.
No, I don't think
I'm going to go for a tour of the kitchen.
You could, because you work in radio. You could report from behind the scenes.
Maybe. But yeah, so I can't come to the last leg and see Josh Widdicombe.
Fine.
Sorry.
Yes, do you want to go?
I would love to go, and I feel like the last...
Leg.
Yeah, on the shelf.
Oh, you don't... I don't want you to feel like that.
Well, you made me feel like that by inviting me and then uninviting me because Con was a better date.
No, to be fair, I had invited him initially and then you wanted to go and then I felt confused.
OK, well, thanks, everyone, for the strongest opening to an hour in talk radio history. Good afternoon. It's Jay Yap here, sitting in for John Holmes, who has secured a couple of days' work entertaining Saudi princes in their private palaces. If you weren't here an hour ago, you missed Paul Mason talking about post-capitalism, which was fascinating. We heard an exclusive edition of The Brex Factor in some tightropey satire, and we learned that you can live without toilet paper, but just maybe not with other people. You can hear all of that when Listen Again becomes available on www.talkradio.co.uk. It's all there, you know, you can hear all of it there. Coming up, though, it's TV Club. It's like Richard and Judy's book club, but with fewer wardrobe malfunctions and partridgisms, and it's not about books because equals yawn! And why Frank Sinatra might make it back into the charts. Also, on the day that we've learned Hillary Clinton has almost certainly secured the Democratic candidature thing. Mm-hmm. Which she has now, right? It's official.
Yeah, she's got it.
We're asking, when you listen to Trump talking, do you feel like you're at the worst family barbecue of all time? It's like, please tell Uncle Donald to shut up! Anyway, it wouldn't be the John Holmes show, would it, without a guitar-based rock music bed. So here's one for you. Kind of. Thought there'd be one there, but there wasn't. Good! Tight opening to the 2 o'clock hour. Marta, is the fader up? It is up! Good!
It's all working. Is your shiny new laptop broken?
I know it's been up. Why doesn't that work? Just literally not. All right, I'll do this one. None of it's working.
Nobody wants to hear.
Sounds
not
like none of them
something.
Are going
to
play.
Okay.
There we go.
There we go. Oh, now they're all playing. I don't know how I stopped them now. Hot show, everybody. Hot show. Here we go. Ready? This is the one. God, this is slick. I need to give myself some in-service training on the technology I used to play that out, I think. It's new technology. You know, we're bedding in. It's only the third month that we've just completed on Talk Radio. You know, what do you expect? Some kind of... Oh, unbelievable. John Holmes will be back on Thursday, though. So just one more day of this. And don't forget, Sam Delaney will be here at 4 o'clock, thumbing you into the evening. After that, it's Johnny Gold featuring Ash. And after that, it's Ian Lee, of course, with Kath. Who's a great listen. Mm. All right, everyone's eyes are glazed over. It's time for TV Club. I think it's time. I'm going to play that. I'm going to stop. Hang on. In service training. Stop that one, yeah? And play this one. Open the fader fully, Marta.
Bridge is dead and books are dead. Jeez. And plays are dead and art is dead. It's the only thing you put in your head. It's time for TV Club.
Brilliant. That worked well. So, it's TV Club. A couple of shows that we watched last night. I don't know if you watched them. If you did and you'd like to... have your thoughts shared with people, then you have the ability to do that, please and thank you. You can text us on 87222.
Start your message with the word talk.
Yeah. Or you can tweet us. It's at Talk Radio.
Start your message with any word you like.
That was nice, the way the two of you rescued each other. So I thought the first show we could do was Food Unwrapped. Did Cornelius and Cass, did you see this?
Yes.
You did see this? Good.
I did.
General verdict?
Boring.
Yeah, dull.
Boring. Oh, the kids, man.
Dull as
disgusting. Did it have not have enough, you know, monsters in it and superheroes?
Well, the driver of the boat was a superhero because when the boat broke down, he had to jump in the water when they were going to look at coconut oil.
That's true.
But what? The thing is, with that, 6 minutes into the show, you only just started finding out about, like, coconut oil. Like, before that, it was like, oh, I'm flying all the way to Vietnam. Here I am in Vietnam. Here I am on a boat.
Yeah, because they're trying to pull you in with a sexy montage.
No!
Because you're this generation that can't give anything more than 15 seconds of attention.
And then it was like, and here we are trying to climb a tree and get the coconuts down.
It was fun.
It wasn't fun. No, it was dull.
Let's hear a clip, shall we?
We Brits are a nation of food lovers.
Oh, my goodness!
Hello.
Our supermarkets are jam-packed with products from every corner of the globe.
Konnichiwa!
But how much do we really know about the journey our food makes to our plates?
Wow! I've never seen anything like it in all my life.
Oh! The Food Unwrap team travel all over the world and beyond.
This is like stepping into the future.
To reveal the trade secrets behind the food we eat.
Yeah, I mean,
it's basically three people who went, you know what, we don't travel enough in our lives. Let's pitch an idea.
Let's rack up some air miles.
And say, yeah, we want to find out about food. We want to find out about all the different things about food. But we have to go all over the world.
Well, you're right. So what they do is they take like three foodstuffs and they start sort of looking at, oh, where does it come from? What does it do? What are the claims? Are they bogus? And there are so many shows like this out there at the moment, and it does get a bit tedious. And you're right, it's like, oh, now I've come to Vietnam, now I've come to Australia. And the thing is, they blow a lot of budget with those travel bits. And that means that the rest of the show, they sort of have to fill up with stuff that's as cheap as possible. So the show always opens with them saying, oh, we've been thinking about artichokes or whatever. So it's like, we're doing some cheap filler pieces in an office we've rented from a graphic design company in Gloucestershire. And we're phoning some people up on the consumer helplines. Hello, yes, sir. Just blowing the dust off this consumer line phone that no one has ever phoned before, ever in the history of our product. How can I help you? Oh, yeah, hi. What's bread? Oh, I don't know, actually. I'll have to ask someone about that. What's bread? Bread's like food and that. Oh, brilliant. Thanks very much indeed. What's coconut oil? Oh, I don't know. I'll have to check for you, to be honest with you.
Didn't somebody on one of these helplines who was clearly just walking past the phone pick it up, and when they were asking something about artichokes, was like, oh, I don't know, I think it's the heart of a lamb or something, or a goat.
Like, did they say that? Amazing.
Yeah, yeah.
Amazing.
The consumer helpline thought it was part of an animal.
Yeah, spleen of artichoke. So they did three foods, right? They did coconut oil, looking at how do you get the coconut oil. They looked at how do you get artichoke hearts. It's brutal the way they slaughter artichokes. Mm, it's disgusting. Awful. I only eat halal artichokes. And absinthe. And what's the deal with absinthe, basically? How do you get coconut oil? How do you get an artichoke heart? The answer to every question generally is the same, which is slaves. Just get some slaves. Pay people a pittance in a third world country. And hey, presto, you've got a lovely product. But I thought, I wanted to hate this show.
Then do.
But no, because it was kind of interesting. I didn't know that if you eat artichokes, afterwards, water tastes sweet.
But that's because nobody eats them.
I eat artichokes.
I'm middle class,
yeah. I guess.
You should have known that water tastes sweet after.
Yeah.
Sweet after.
But I didn't.
Well, then
that.
It doesn't, then.
You're not paying attention.
I think maybe it has to be raw artichoke. I don't eat raw artichoke. I eat the nice one in the pots that cost like £3.50, man.
Exactly. Nobody buys and eats them unless you're posh.
Yeah, well, I'm not. I suppose I'm sort of a middle class but vegan, which is like the same as posh, isn't
hipster.
It?
Hipster.
I'm not a hipster. Don't you dare call me hipster. And I thought it was really interesting when they said that miracle berry. So, like, artichokes have this thing and it blocks your taste buds, the sweetness receptors. So then afterwards, when you drink water, it tastes sugary. Mm. And apparently there are these things called miracle berries, and they do the same thing. If you eat a miracle berry or dried miracle berries, afterwards stuff tastes sweet. And they discovered that can help patients to recover their appetites after chemotherapy. That was quite interesting. That was quite interesting, wasn't it?
I thought that little bit was, but that was such a small part of everything else that they talked about. Oh, let's go to Italy and go find the artichoke. Oh, actually, it's a flower. It's not a vegetable that people think.
That was quite interesting. I thought it was quite interesting when they discovered that using refined coconut oil for frying is better than using something like extra virgin olive oil.
We've known that for years.
I didn't know that.
I sort of knew that. It's
I use coconut oil for everything.
It's really expensive, though, isn't it?
No, this is what I don't understand. They keep saying it's expensive. It's actually not that expensive.
But like, unrefined virgin coconut oil is quite expensive.
It's not that expensive. Like,
who's posh now, Cass? Who's a hipster now?
No, because it...
Wow, Cass!
It goes...
Wow!
It goes so far. Like, yeah. I use it as a conditioner. I use it on my skin. I use it in cooking. So when tub of, like... creams that get rid of your wrinkles and luminize your skin and stuff, that's like 20 quid for it's like just, 20 listen, mils.
I use coconut oil in cooking. I made lasagna with it the other day, and then I just took squares of the lasagna and applied them to my face, and that's why
I can see that you're looking very, very fresh today.
Yeah, and I found it interesting that wormwood, you know, that you get in absinthe, wormwood, well, it's like it's bits of a plant, it's kind of a herb, and it banishes parasites, like worms. That was the point of it.
So I've got to pick you up on this because I can just imagine people sitting at home. Absinthe is it not absinthe? You're calling it absinthe.
Oh yeah, sorry, I forgot you pronounce it. Bonjour.
Well, I
it's
also,
absinthe.
I also
it's French,
absinthe.
Isn't it, mate? It's French.
Is it
absinthe?
Not absinthe? I've
what with
it
an
as
F?
Absinthe.
With an F?
Yeah, don't
like
start.
Like fort.
Okay, all right. Cornelius is winning the street credibility stakes in this three-way conversation.
Cool.
So I thought, look, I really wanted to hate this show.
Then do.
No. But I couldn't. I couldn't condemn the show. It was all quite interesting. And I'm not saying any of this because my cousin did the music. I'm not saying it. I'm just
now
saying, if people
know.
Google it and they see David Yap on the credits...
Actually,
yes,
that means that you can't review it because
yes,
that's a conflict of interest.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
Look, I thought the music was lousy.
Yeah. I thought it was great until the music started.
Yeah.
I had to listen on mute.
Yeah, it didn't make
subtitles.
Any sense, did it?
No.
It's
awful.
It's awful. You people are terrible. My cousin's a wonderful man and a very brilliant composer, actually.
I'm surprised if he'd get any work after
Hey,
that.
Listen, if you live anywhere near Bristol, you should go and see... there's a group called Kettle of Fish... You'll have to look them up on Facebook. He does. It's a choral group. You should see him. I'm now
plugging.
This is like Countdown all over again.
Oh God,
this is awful. I'm going to have to recover.
Should we get a ferry there to Bristol?
I'm going to have to recover
him.
With an absinthe and Bamo Cola, the refreshing drink that's right for any time. After the break, we'll talk about. Did you see it? What did you think? Did you think? Because I find those things mainly patronising. Like last week, we talked about a really awful show that was
Fiona Phillips.
The Fiona Phillips one. And it was the same sort of premise. Well, are these superfoods really super, or could we just eat bracken? Like, that was annoying and patronising. But this one actually wasn't annoying and patronising. It just told me stuff I didn't know. I didn't know that coconut cream can have quite a powerful laxative effect. On that note, I said, why are we ending every junction the same way? After the break, we're going to be talking about EFRO and drawing back the velvet curtain of the airport. Okay, good. Thanks.
Talk Radio. Digital debate for the UK.
Talk Radio.
We'll get you talking.
The Peugeot 308. Powerful profile. Sleek lines. Really? Is this how we're supposed to choose a car? What if we based our decision on what the car is actually like to drive? Not just a quick spin around the block, but a 48-hour test drive. Remember, you buy the image, but you fall in love with the detail. Peugeot 308. Confidence built in. Arrange a 48-hour test drive at Peugeot.co.uk. Participating dealers only. Conditions apply.
44,000 UK men will be diagnosed with prostate cancer in the next 12 months. Prostate Cancer UK has one ambition. To help stop men dying from prostate cancer. With your help, we can make prostate cancer a disease the next generation of men needn't fear. Search Men United and join the fight now.
Life is full of deadlines. The deadline for that job application. The deadline for your tax return. And now, the Financial Conduct Authority is thinking about imposing a deadline for claiming missold PPI. So time could be running out for you to claim. Let PPI Claimback do most of the work for you. We can check whether you've had PPI. If you haven't, it won't cost you a penny. Text PPI to 80039. That's PPI to 80039.
Time is pretty precious when you're Ryan Reynolds. I drink all my meals. And I only have friends with really short names. Hey, Jay.
What's up?
That's why I've got BT Infinity. It now offers speeds of up to 52 megabits per second. the fastest standard fiber speeds. I also don't have time for underwear. I'm going commando right now.
BT Infinity. Fast just got faster. Visit bt.com/infinity to find out more.
83% UK coverage, £49 activation and £7.95 hub delivery. Comparison versus standard entry-level fiber products of major broadband providers. Up to speeds depending on time of day, line and location.
Talk Radio, traffic and travel.
To Newry in Armagh, the southbound A1 is closed by an accident at the A28. There's queuing traffic on the approach to that. And through Belfast, the A1 Shaftesbury Square at the Dublin Road junction is heavy. That's because of a signal failure. In East Sussex, the A24/7 through West Furley is still suffering after a breakdown, so looking really busy in both directions. Surface water on the M23 and Surrey's bringing your speeds down as you move between the M25 and Junction 9 for Gatwick Airport. And the A14 Oxford is busy because of work at the Cutslow roundabout. I'm Jarena Adams.
Shorts? Tick. Sunglasses? Tick. Half price summer check? Tick. If your Ford is 4 years or older, bring it to the Ford Motorcraft Reunion. And for only $9.99, trusted Ford trained technicians will do a comprehensive 30-point check and aircon refresh. Plus great offers on servicing, tyres, accessories and more. To book, see ford.co.uk/reunion. Participating Ford dealers, T's and C's apply. Available until June 20th.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Late night, Ian Lee. Tonight from 10 on Talk Radio.
A differently interesting nocturnal emissions from a legend of late night radio.
My name's Ian Lee. I'm on at 10 o'clock at night. We're going to have singers. We're going to have dancers. We're going to have naked pets. Just listen and see what happens.
Late night conversation worth losing sleep over.
Late night, Ian Lee.
On air and off the leash.
Tonight from 10 on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Jake Yap on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
I really need a bit more software training.
I'm
anyway.
I'm going to take that laptop off you.
Fine.
It's dangerous.
I need to figure it out. Anyway. It's TV Club. We've got music news. The latest music releases are going to be reviewed by Work Experience Aidan in 10 minutes' time. But it's time for part two of TV Club. And on last night on ITV was Heathrow, which I liked. Did you like it? Did you?
It was all right.
It was basically a documentary, obviously, like behind the scenes. Nothing particularly new behind the scenes, looking at the comings and goings of Heathrow Airport. Let's listen to a little bit now.
Dispatcher James is responsible for getting the Pakistan Air flight to Lahore away at exactly 15:55.
Flight came in late, 10 past. We came here, the fuel is here, which is good. It can take an hour sometimes, the fuel. Caterers are clean, as they're here.
If James misses this departure slot, the airline could be heavily penalised.
Flight's not ready on time. You know, it's going to cost money, or it's going to cost the airline money, so that... Yeah, we can't afford to wait for anything. It can get very busy. Once the passengers start coming, they'll open the gate in about 5 minutes. And it all seems to happen at once. You just rather calm before the storm, really, you know.
Very good. First of all, I want to say full marks to this programme for going back to basics and using some like nice classical music tunes.
You loved the music, didn't you?
I loved
tweeting it. Tweeting about it.
Yes, because...
Did your cousin do it again?
Oh, here we go.
Did your other cousin
yes,
do it?
That's right. My cousin is Mascagni. No.
oh, no. They used the music from Home Alone, didn't they?
Oh, that wasn't the music from Home Alone.
Know,
that was a piece of classical music.
I know, but as I was watching it, I'm like, this is definitely from Home Alone. And then I thought, Connell loved that.
Did you love that, Connell?
I don't know. I've never seen Home Alone.
Yeah. He was just raised alone.
Yeah.
No, it's great because most of these shows, they use the same four music tracks, sort of a Sats, Edwardian kind of blinky-plonky pizzicato string music, sort of ho-ho-ho-ho-ho-ho, and they weren't doing that.
Yes, they do, don't they?
I like that they've done that. And it was quite interesting, we learned about, there was a I didn't know that the nose of an aeroplane's got the radar in it. I didn't know that.
I knew that.
I didn't know planes had radars in it.
I didn't know.
I thought
sometimes
they've
got engines.
The radars, I thought, were on the ground picking up planes. Why are they putting radars in planes?
Because you have to bounce something back.
All right.
Are you serious?
Yeah, honestly,
yeah, you're looking at fish.
Honestly misunderstood the concept of radars.
You misunderstood the concept of everything.
What is the concept of radars?
Well, right, so I was thinking back to sort of the World War when they pick up planes on their radar.
Right.
Why are these planes that are attacking got radars in? Why they should have just turned them off or at least not had them, and then they wouldn't have been picked up as they were coming in.
Right. But I don't think jumbo jets get involved in a lot of dogfight. Isn't it sort of better that they know if there's another plane nearby that... Not to engage them in combat, but just to avoid them.
Yeah. I think my point is still valid.
87222. Talk. If you think planes should have radar in them... I like the lady who got to ride her bicycle around inside the terminal. That'd be like it'd be lovely to do that.
Mm. No,
because it's got floor like a supermarket.
No,
it'd be lovely to ride a bike on it. It's so smooth and shiny.
There's a sports shop where you can test bikes by riding around the shop.
Are you serious?
Yeah. I don't know if
I'm not a fan of cyclists, and I'm even less of a fan when they're inside in a crowded place.
She was a paramedic.
Yeah, well,
Cass is just pushing her off as she goes. Yeah,
get off your bike!
I've never attacked, nor have I shouted at a cyclist. I've cursed at them.
It did make me realise that, like, the worst situation for my mother, who's a very nervous flyer, so the heart rate might go up. If she had a heart attack in Heathrow Airport, because then when the paramedic came, she'd be like, "You're cycling on a pavement!" It would just be the worst thing ever.
Where's your helmet?
And I liked it. It was actually a very human. It's a very human show. It was a very good human show. And I liked it when I didn't know they've got like this fleet of simulators, flight simulators. They've got like 8 of them in a row. And there was a guy, and he's sort of saying, "Yeah, well, this is how we replicate conditions. We can put frost on the ground. We can have hailstones on the simulator. It can be dusk. We can have a giant bird coming in. We can disable the radar." And
good
I just
idea.
Liked it when the guy.
Good
I liked it when the guy sort of filming it said, "Yeah, but is it fun though?" And I liked that the guy went, "Yeah, of course it is." I thought that was really nice. You should sort of say, because he was saying, "Oh, it's very serious what we're doing. It's very serious." "Yeah, but is it fun?" I was like, "Yeah, of course it is." And I like that because it must be fun.
I mean, pilot, I would not like to meet a pilot that once they sort of sit down and get the plane going and it's just sort of level, they just start going, pew, 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 pew. Yeah. And pretending they're in Star Wars.
Yeah, engage the radar.
But they can, if they want to, listen to football.
Can they?
Yeah, that's what the guy said when they were fixing the nose cone.
Really?
Did you watch it?
Some of it. I mean, I drifted in and out of consciousness. This is what happens to me.
Right at the beginning, they were saying, "Yeah, if they want to, they can listen to football." They don't, obviously, because it's flying plane, but yeah, they can if they want.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
I didn't hear that bit. I think I was just...
They could be listening to this. If they can listen to football, they could be listening to talk radio.
They could be.
Well, they probably are. I mean,
if you are, wiggle your plane around a bit.
Yeah.
Don't do that.
Dip your wings if you're listening to The Great Sound of Talk Radio. I didn't hear it because I was pouring myself a refreshing glass of Bamo Cola. It's the drink that's right for any time. There have been a couple of really good... Like, it's sort of... All of this started in the 90s, didn't it? There was kind of like airline and then there was airport or the other way around. Mm. And it was kind of like a really big thing in the 90s.
Oh,
and all those sort of documentaries went away. And now, like, they're back, but I feel they've totally ramped it up a notch. Like, the photography is beautiful in these shows. And there was a show on Sunday night, I think, called City in the Sky. And they made the point that it's... You've got something like 100,000 people in the air at any given moment.
Mm.
That's the size of a city. Like, a big city. And you sort of think, can we sustain that as a planet? Should we be keeping a whole city airborne? And the photography was... And they did all these sort of graphic effects where they said, like, this is how many meals that this one plant at this one airport is going to put together. And they had, like, they did this tracking shot of a jumbo jet. And these this plane was just, like, covered in a mountain of ready meals. Like, it was really cool. Am I just being a 12-year-old about it? I don't know.
You thought really deeply about this show. I was just, like, watching it. You were like...
Yeah, well, that's because I was aware we were going to be discussing it on the radio and we had a service to our listener to try to be entertaining about. I don't know.
What about that kid that got lost?
Yeah, that was pretty awful, wasn't it?
Someone managed to lose a child.
Yeah. What? In the airport?
Yeah, it just ran off.
It's like the old...
Did they find it, or is that...
Yeah.
Oh, okay. That would have been...
It was trying to board another plane.
Would have been a nice cliffhanger for the next episode.
It's like the old Noel Coward gag. Was it Noel Coward or Oscar Wilde? I think it was Noel Coward. No, Oscar Wilde.
Oscar Wilde.
To lose one
anything
parent.
To declare... Oh, no.
Oh, no. But anything to declare I'm only my genius. No, it's the one about...
Lots
to lose,
of airport gags,
to
doesn't
lose
he?
One... He honestly, Oscar Wilde's stuff about the new Terminal 5. Oh my god, oh, that was the funniest routine in years.
And airport food.
Oh, tell me about it. Hey, you should go on Twitter. I'm at Jake Yapp, by the way, JAKEYAPP. If you're interested, or you can go on to Talk Radio, where Hazel from the Newhouse Family blog has tweeted a picture of her. Reusable lavatory paper that we were talking about half an hour ago. Coming up next, we've got the latest music releases with Aidan, our work experience. But first, let's catch up with the latest news headlines with Victoria Bourne.
Talk Radio.
Football fans travelling to France for Euro 2016 this week are being warned of potential terror threats, transport strikes, flooding and pickpocketing. The Foreign Office has updated its advice, warning people to be vigilant of attacks at venues showing matches. Sky's Foreign Affairs editor Sam Kiley says fans shouldn't be too concerned though.
In a sense, it would be a bigger news story if the Foreign Office was the only Foreign Office pretty much in the world that wasn't making this sort of statement. Just yesterday, we have had reports from Ukraine of right-wing terrorism being added into this mix. So in that context, we shouldn't be surprised that the Foreign Office is saying be cautious.
Two teenage girls have admitted kidnapping a toddler from a Primark store in Newcastle in April. The two-year-old, who was taken 3 miles away before being reunited with her mum, was the second child they'd tried to grab from the store that day. The Sports Direct founder Mike Ashley has admitted to MPs that some of the working practices at the company are unacceptable and wrong. Earlier, union officials told the business committee employees live in fear of losing their jobs at any moment. Two serving police officers and one who's retired will go on trial next year, accused of using a police helicopter camera to spy on naked people. A pilot has also pleaded not guilty to charges of misconduct in a public office following an investigation by the South Yorkshire Force. And Domino's says it's going to create 10,000 jobs ahead of what it expects to be a busy summer with the European Championship football and the Olympic Games. The company says it expects 3 pizzas to be ordered every second during the Euros. The weather warm but turning cloudier with potentially torrential downpours. Highs of 26 degrees is more in half an hour.
Delaney, live at Drive on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking. It's an A to Z of original afternoon entertainment with the most well-connected man in radio.
Give it some lip.
Big opinions, massive guests, all the top stories. Original afternoon entertainment with me, Sam Delaney. Delaney, live at Drive.
Honk if you're Delaney.
This afternoon from 4.
On Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Jake Yapp on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
Well, I got some news for you. It is raining, bruv. Oh, my days, it is raining.
In London.
Well, yeah, I'm saying that. Like, here is rain. I'm not trying to be London. I was going to caveat. I will promise you I was going to caveat.
Okay,
I promise you.
Good luck caveating.
I promise you. Thank you. I will caveat. Caveat. I'm covered in it. In half an hour's time, we're going to be putting summer footwear in the dock in our kangaroo court. And, you know, borne out by the fact that it is raining, bruv, in this specific pocket of Britain. And that's because, you know, that's where your summer footwear falls down.
Good caveat.
Thank you. In the meantime, we're going to do our work experience review. This is something that John Holmes does, and I thought, well, he's away. He's probably not going to listen, so I can just nick his format. So it was where we get someone cheap, scratch that free, to come and review some stuff for us. And today it's Aidan, and he's reviewing music. Hi, Aidan.
Hello, how you doing?
Good, yeah. It's a better day. More things are working today. And that's
excellent.
Always,
that's good, nice.
Yeah, it's a nice feeling. And you've been reviewing all the music. Do you like music?
I love music, yeah.
Oh, I love music. So important, isn't it? Music. I like Steps. I like Billy Joel.
Eclectic, if anything.
Well, so before we get into the reviews, and there's quite a few to get through, what sort of music do you like? I want people to be able to kind of profile you so that your advice sort of, yep. you know... What do you like?
I like a bit of everything, pretty much. Yeah.
Anything from hip-hop to R&B. What do you mean by that? Like classical?
You like a opera? Bit classical, like jazz.
What jazz? What's jazz? What era? Give me a decade. 20s, 30s, 40s. Tell me what's up. 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s.
I'm liking sort of late 50s all the way up to modern times now,
Such
much.
A shame. I liked you, Aidan. brilliant. All right. Well, yeah. I think we've got the measure of you.
All right.
What's the first offering?
The first offering is from Drake. Now, this is someone that John particularly loves. He loves Drake.
Does he?
Yeah, he really appreciates him. Respects him deeply.
Is this Nick Drake?
No, this is just Drake.
Okay.
His real name Aubrey, I think we established last time. Yeah, I think so.
Aubrey Drake.
And he dropped a new track on his Ovo Sound Beats One radio show a couple of days ago. And we've got a clip of it here. This is 4 p.m. in Calabasas. We moving militant, but somehow you the one tanking. No limit to where I could take it. And you know me as a crisp bottle sender, check pick-upper. I thought we looked out for one another. Saw us all as brothers in a struggle, too blessed to be humble. I guess it's different in the city I come from. All of a sudden I got people showing how much they truly resent me. They hold a meaning to spells envy, they trying to tempt me. The higher I get, the less they accept me. Even had the OGs trying to press me. No way out, cause I'm dirty in it.
I
think it's pretty good. I think it's alright.
Yeah,
I quite like it. Yeah,
do you?
Yeah, killer bass line, as you can hear.
That was the first thing that struck me, was the killer bass line.
Killer bass line.
I'm so glad you're doing this, Aidan, and not me. Killer. Oh, that bass line was killer, wasn't it? What about the?
Call the police.
Do you know? I knew that you had outqualified. Even though your work experience, I knew you'd outqualified me when you said dropped a track. I was like, wow, this guy is incredible. I would never have thought to say that. So. That's good.
It's a good, it's a good track. Same sort of things pop up. Money, women, fame.
Okay.
How great he is.
Yeah, he is great, though. Yeah, he just told us.
He's basically for 4 minutes, yeah.
And you have to use the word city. No one ever talks about fields or anything, do they, in that sort of genre?
City, no. But then his recent album was all about his own city, Toronto, I think. Is it Toronto or somewhere? Really? I don't know, I can't remember. Yeah,
I went for a picnic. You know, they never say that
Toronto,
sort of stuff.
Is it Toronto? Yeah, there we go. So there we go. But during the show, he also dropped another track, which I didn't get a clip of because every other word is an F and a Jeff. So I just thought it would be really worth the time.
Dude, I don't mind the Fs, but the Jeffs.
They're really awful, aren't they?
Yeah.
Really terrible. This Bo one Jeff. Was Gucci Mane, who's just been released from prison. So he's someone that we can all look up to for firearm possession, I believe it was.
I didn't really understand any of the last
Gucci Mane.
Right.
Gucci Mane, yeah.
What's Gucci Mane?
Gucci Mane is a man who spits bars, I believe the technical term is, for a living.
Is that what he got arrested for?
Yeah, you can't spit in bars. They don't put sawdust down anymore. No. You can't do that.
It's firearm possession, and it was a couple of years as well, so he was in prison for a while.
Crikey.
Just been released, got a new track out called Back on Road. See, bad grammar as well.
Yeah.
Everything's going on.
From one release to another.
I know, which Drake also appeared on. And again, it's kind of... It was very, very average. People were going crazy about the track, which I was kind of bemused me, because it literally just sounded like everything else he's ever done.
Yeah.
I wouldn't mind.
I can see that kind of music is quite handy for, like, if you're listening to it on your phone or whatever.
Yes.
And you're walking back, you know, maybe you commute into a city centre and, you know, you get home and you're walking through some banal leafy suburb.
Right.
When you listen to that, you can pretend that you're some kind of hard nut walking through the hood.
Spitting bars,
Spitting bars and doing all the spits everywhere. And, you know, it does make you feel quite a lot more. Am I allowed? Hang on, wait. I'm going to go quiet for a second because I need to run a word past Cass. Am I allowed to say... Can I say that? It makes you feel a lot more badass than you actually are as you're sitting there eating stuff. You said
Jeff.
Yes,
that
right?
Was a Jeff.
Yeah. That was a Jeff. It was more of a Jeffrey. Like, it was a bit more... you know, when you're sort of sitting there with your, I don't know, you've got one of those layered salads from a supermarket for your tea, and you're, in the hood, in the city, going to eat my layered salad with the cheese on top. Like, it makes you feel a bit more hardcore than really most people are.
Yeah, maybe.
I'm mildly constipated. I don't eat enough fruit. I worry about it, but not enough to do anything about it. Member of a gym. I don't go very often. I mean, so I don't know what I'm saying. I'm sorry.
Should we do another one?
Let's press on. I'm excited. This is the only one I've heard of, and I'm genuinely excited about.
Are the Avalanches?
Yes!
Yes, yeah, yeah. So this is quite... I was excited by this, right? Because for 16 years, taken them. So they released an album in 2000, since I left you. Kind of pretty influential.
It's a great album.
But the thing with that album was it was very of its time. So yes. In 95, you had DJ Shadow introducing, which was this whole similar poly plunderphonics sample-based.
Pardon me now? What?
Plunderphonics. That's the proper genre term.
Is that how they're teaching children to read nowadays? Plunderphonics.
Which is...
Puh! Bah! Bow! What? I don't know. Go on.
So apparently that album, Since I Left You, Plunderphonics album, used 3,500 different samples to make up the album. So
They plundered the old back music catalogue and iKid.
So you had all people like DJ Shadow, Moby doing it, Warp Records alumni, so Boards of Canada, FX Twin, all doing the same sort of thing, around the same sort of time. So the album was very of its time, and it was influential, and it was very good. This album that they are going to release, Wildflower, which is slated for a July the 8th release, has been in development since 2005, I think, so a long, long time. There's been also band members have left. Yeah. They had various licensing issues with getting clearance for samples, that kind of thing.
Oh, I see, of course.
But they released Frankie Sinatra last week in anticipation for the upcoming album, and I believe we've got a clip of it.
Let's hear it.
What did they say? Frankie Sinatra. Frank Sinatra. Frankie, me boy, don't know. You have a good big voice to sing calypso. What did they say? Frankie, me boy, don't know. You have a good big voice to sing calypso.
Office worker, he's office worker. Please, Mr. Officer, I only had some darker.
Now that's music.
Yeah.
You're not crazy about that, are you?
It's fun. Okay. It's definitely upbeat. Mm-hmm. That kind of calypso sample is pretty much there throughout. And as I was saying before, Since I Left You was very, very complex, very, very dense in terms of how the samples were laid and how they were put together. Mm-hmm. This is a much more straightforward song. It features, as you just heard at the end there, Danny Brown and MF Doom. MF Doom pops up.
Yeah, I was thinking it was MF Doom. It sounded like MF Doom. Did it sound like that?
I know those dulcet tones.
That unmistakable timbre.
He pops up. The verses are fine. But it's odd enough, they're really recessed in the mix. Like, you can't really hear them very well, which is kind of odd. The vocal sample is very, very prominent. So I don't know whether that was a deliberate decision on their part.
If it took them 15, 16 years, it must have been.
Well, this is what I'm thinking. I hesitate to criticise, because they've been working on it so long. Mm. And the point of this album was it's basically a collection of all the tracks that they were working on in those 10 years. And they're going to hopefully release this album, and then it'll kind of clean the slate. Then they'll be able to start working on new material. So some of this was one of the first songs they produced after they released Since I Left You. Right. Avalanche's fans will love it. I think it's kind of sounding a little bit dated now, because as I said, Since I Left You was very of its time. It's a good, fun track. I won't criticise it too much.
I think it's a fun track. Do you think it's a fun track, Cornelius?
Yeah, it's fun. You can imagine bopping into it. Like, bopping to it. Yeah. You know, some sort of
It's just one of those tracks that I feel like it's so hooky and so catchy that it might get tired really fast. Yes. That's my only concern.
Yeah.
We will have more from Twin Atlantic and Vic Mensa. Means a lot to me. Straight after the break.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
We are Talk.
Talk Radio. Give it some lip.
Calling all plumbers in Bath, hairdressers in Barnet, and personal trainers in Slack Bottom. Take your career up a gear with Just the Job on Talk Radio in association with AdView.co.uk. Listen to the Paul Ross Full Set Breakfast every Monday morning from 6 and get expert advice on the UK job market from the AdView.co.uk jobs guru. Plus, learn top tips for setting up bespoke vacancy alerts so you'll never miss out on your dream role again. Just the Job on Talk Radio with AdView.co.uk. Thousands of jobs in your area.
Everyone's a winner this week at TradePoint. We've got thousands of prizes to give away to help you enjoy the football in style. From smart TVs, official shirts and Carlsberg vouchers to the ultimate football party bundle. Make a purchase at your local TradePoint counter before Sunday 19th of June for your chance to win. Trade only.
TradePoint! Sounds fantastic! Another round, so what's this sound? That's a gang of larcenous gibbons making off with someone's treasured marimba. But what's this sound?
Go compare.
That's the sound telling millions of canny householders where to look to save on their insurance.
For the right home cover, you'll soon discover.
Nothing quite compares to go compare.
Sounds fantastic.
Talk Radio, traffic and travel.
To Newry in Armagh, the southbound A1 is closed by an accident at the A28. There's queuing traffic on the approach to that. And through Belfast, the A1 Shaftesbury Square at the Dublin Road junction is heavy. That's because of a signal failure. In East Sussex, the A20 for Severn through Westfield is still suffering after a breakdown, so looking really busy in both directions. Surface water on the M23 in Surrey is bringing your speeds down as you move between the M25 and Junction 9 for Gatwick Airport. And the A14 Oxford busy because of work at the Cutslow roundabout. I'm Jarena Adams.
She knows where Ed Sheeran keeps his secret collection of alarming Victorian taxidermy. She sneaked into Lady Gaga's dressing room disguised as a boiled ham. And she once smuggled Justin Bieber's pet monkey through Ibiza Airport dressed as a nun.
She's Anna Williamson, and she'll be sharing her shocking celebrity stories every Saturday night from 9 on Talk Radio. Get an access all areas backstage pass to the A-list with Anna Williamson's Showbiz Confidential. Adults only, late night entertainment.
Showbiz Confidential with Anna Williamson this Saturday night from 9 on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Jake Yap on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
Aidan, our work experience boy, is taking us through the latest music news and reviews. Interestingly, we just heard the latest Avalanche's single.
Yeah.
Stu on Twitter, a good afternoon to you. He says, I note that the Avalanche's track employs the same chord progression as Jake Yap's J'aime le sport, considering legal. This was yesterday. I proposed a more simplified theme tune for the BBC's Euro 16.
Right.
Because have you heard their release?
Yeah.
It's an old Edith Piaf song, and it's in French, and it's sung by a woman who can't speak French.
Right.
And she doesn't do it particularly well. She sings beautifully, but the accent is terrible.
Right.
So I came up with this idea. This is my proposition for the Euro 16 theme. Here it comes. Oh, come on, you have to be joking me.
J'aime le sport.
There it is.
Oui, j'aime le sport. J'aime le cinéma.
I like the cinema.
J'aime le foot.
I like the football.
J'ai 12 ans.
I'm 12.
J'aime les sons.
I like men.
J'aime le sport.
I like sports.
It is
quite uncanny in its similarity to the Avalanches.
You should review it now.
Yeah, well, I'm going to release it in 16 years. Right, we've got some music news.
Yes, so this is pretty cool. The Sex Pistols are set to release a box set of live albums previously unreleased. They were kind of various bootlegs and unofficial releases of these, but they're being officially released in a box set, one of which is going to include the Manchester Free Trade Hall concert from 1976, which was reportedly attended by members of Joy Division, who were then inspired to form the band after having seen the Sex Pistols live.
Okay. Are you sure it's not just like a box of sound effects of people fighting? I mean, were they not quite? It was quite, wasn't it? They were quite, you know, they had a bit of a...
Well, this is the thing, right? We were talking about band names last week. Yeah. And I think the Sex Pistols is one of the best band names of all time. I think it categorically is. Because it's edgy, it's provocative,
and I,
sums up all that band stands for.
Again,
you know I mean?
I have to come back to Steps. You leave me no option.
Yeah, everyone has Steps.
In their life.
That's great news for fans of 70s boy bands, which is effectively what the Sex Pistols were. Let's be honest. It was Vivian Westwood and, what's his name, Malcolm McLaren. They basically set them up as a boy band.
Right, okay.
Right. He was the Malcolm McLaren was the Louis Walsh of his time. They were the Westlife of their day. Fact. Anyway, any more news?
David Bowie's producer, Tony Visconti, has claimed that there will be further unreleased material to be released. And apparently there's a whole album that was recorded in 2001, collectively known, kind of like an album's worth of songs, collectively known as Toy, which people are expecting to be released. And
That is exciting. Which
is pretty cool. They're hoping to do a similar thing with Prince. They drilled into his vault, apparently. And there's just like hundreds of songs going on there.
Are you saying they literally drilled in?
They had to, because he was the only one that knew the combination to the vault.
Seriously?
Not even his producer did.
Do they not think that maybe he didn't want people to hear these songs, so he put them in a vault?
I bet it had all kinds of anti-theft safeguards, and I bet everyone was covered in purple smart water. That's exciting too.
I think it's pretty exciting. Yeah. There's going to be a follow-up to the box set 5 Years, which was released last year. That dealt with the years 1969 to 1973. Kind of had unreleased material from then, and people are expecting lots of these releases because he's had, again, similar to Prince, he had a lot of songs that weren't released into the public. So it's pretty exciting stuff.
Well, he did a brilliant song, Cheese and Pickle Sandwiches. Brilliant. Cheese and pickle sandwiches. Cheese and pickle. I mean, no one else has heard that one.
No, it's unreleased.
It wasn't one of those well-known
ones. With good reason, yeah. Maybe I should do for tomorrow, we should do an unreleased David Bowie track. What do you think?
Sure,
that? All right, we'll do that. That's another incentive for people to listen in to a Pure Gold show. Are we on to reviews?
Should we do music review?
Yeah.
Twin Atlantic. Now, these are of the rock persuasion. They released a track, No Sleep, June the 3rd, and I believe we've got a clip.
Oh, let's hear it.
Coffee grip, your waterboarding meter, seasons of breathing in that pollen and raw daydreaming.
Brilliant.
Yeah. Come on, Jake.
It's fresh. No, it's fresh, isn't it? It's fresh, that. Very fresh sound. This is right up John Holmes' alley, isn't it?
Yeah, I think he would have loved this.
Yeah, he would have loved that one because it's angry and a bit adolescent. I'm trying to generate a beef, okay? I'm trying to generate an on-air beef. I've been trying to do this for weeks. No one will fight me. John Holmes, he won't be listening now. I know he'll listen back, though. Come and fight me in the car park. Come and fight me, bro. Come and fight. We need some press.
And we can play like Drake in the background while you two have a battle, can we?
No, play the Twin Atlantic. It'll get me so pumped.
Okay. So this track has been released in anticipation of their fourth album, GLA, which is slated for release on the 9th of September. And we heard loads of things in there. We heard Biffy Clyro. Rage Against the Machine, a little bit Nirvana.
Oh, I was thinking that.
A little bit Wheatus as well later on in the track.
That's I actually, yeah, you're right.
Yeah. And I like they keep the Scottish accents, which I like. I like that. They don't Americanise the voices.
I was going to say, it's GLA after Glasgow, right? The airport.
Oh, it must be.
The airport code, isn't it?
Because I saw it and I was kind of convinced. I was confused because it was just GLA and I wasn't quite sure what it was.
Did you think they were writing a word and forgot to write the end of it?
Yeah.
Maybe
it was
gloss.
Maybe it was like just...
Yeah. What are you going to call the album, boys? We're going to call it... what was I saying?
Maybe the phone cut off as they finished the word, yeah. So there we go. So I thought it's a good rocky number.
Yeah. Lovely, angry guitars and shouting. Brilliant. I'm into Cass. Did you like... Is that your sort of thing, Cass? Did you enjoy that one? She's like, oh, what now? I have to talk again. Go on. What?
It was a bit tame for my liking.
Oh. A bit tame.
Tame.
A bit tame.
No.
Tame.
Marta liked it.
Half tame. Marta, you liked it.
I liked it, yeah.
Yeah, but you like Bill Nye, so we can't really take any of your opinions as having any validity. I'm kidding. She does. You like Bill Nye.
What's wrong with Bill Nye?
So what? What's wrong with it?
Yeah, what's wrong with Bill Nye?
I don't know.
I don't know. His first album's all
right.
Well,
we did it with all the middle fingers thing. You know, he always points with his middle fingers that look like they could do you significant internal damage. I don't... Anyway, because we're running out of runway. And his stupid hair. Get your hair cut. You're old now. You've got to get your hair cut, Bill Nye. Not that great an actor. Anyway, I'm sorry. Why am I so punchy today?
I think it was the combination of the hippity hoppity.
It was Twin Atlantic.
Twin Atlantic. Yeah,
so yeah. You're right. You're right. Yeah. The hippity. What were they called? The hippity hoppity ones.
It was Drake.
Drake.
Gucci Mane.
Gucci. Literally anagrams. Yeah, you're right. They got me sort of feeling a bit angry and stuff.
Yeah.
And then when we heard Twin Atlantic, then it all just came out. It was like squeezing that adolescent spot on the bass players. Wherever. So the last one, Vic Mensa,
yeah. So this chap, I think he's quite young. He's got a tattoo which says 1996. And I couldn't find his birthday anywhere.
Okay.
So I assume 1996 is a reference to his birth year.
Could be his PIN number. That would be a silly move.
It would be, wouldn't it?
Silly move. I keep forgetting it.
just hang on, it's having on my stomach.
He gets arrested for indecent exposure every time he tries to take cash out.
So I think he must be about 20, which is pretty cool. He's got a very distinctive style, and he's popped up on a few tracks recently. He popped up on the Internet's album last year, Ego Death, very, very good. He also appeared on Kate Trinada's album this year, also very, very good. So he's got some style, he's kind of working his way in the biz, and he's released a surprise EP called A Lot Going... There's A Lot Going On, rather. And I think we're going to hear a clip of 16 Shots.
Okay.
16 shots, and we bucking back 16 shots. 16 shots, and we bucking back 16 shots. There's a war on drugs, but the drugs keep running in. There's a war on guns, but the guns keep ringing. Me and Lord got a clip with an extendo.
I like the bit with Cher in the middle then.
Will you believe it or not?
I can't believe they got Cher. That was a bit of a get, wasn't
what
it?
What a coup.
Amazing. I love Cher. She's back, everyone. Cool. It's a shame the drum machine was broken, but apart from that...
Actually, do you know what?
Yeah.
I actually thought it was quite a good track. I'm going to be honest with you.
Yeah.
The EP's pretty good. It's very angry, very political. This particular track is in reference to... The 16 Shots is in reference
that
to
night
the shooting...
in Ibiza.
No. It's a reference to the shooting of Laquan McDonald, who was shot 16 times and killed in 2014 by police. And there was this big, big ruckus about it, of course. And so this song is in reference to that.
Right.
And there's all sorts of things going on here. Poverty, relationships, wealth, all sorts. Some of your standard stuff, some not. The production on the album is pretty, pretty good. And as I said, it's very kind of... It's very, very oppressive at times. But there are some really, really nice tracks on there. This one, Liquor Locker, is perhaps the strongest track on the album. It's got quite... I don't know what that's a reference to. It's got a catchy chorus, kind of this really lovely, warm, rich production. A good summer tune. And it features Ty Dolla $ign, who...
He's so good on Extreme Home Makeover. That's the other Ty. Yeah. I can't remember his name. It was very good. And yeah. I thoroughly enjoyed it.
Yeah.
16 shots, because Bruce Springsteen had 41 shots, didn't he?
Eh?
Not in a bar. Like he did a political song about someone who was shot 41 times by the police.
He did a comeback concert, didn't he, recently? Or a concert in London, and there were just loads of people there. There was a picture of it, and it was just like... It was
Wembley Stadium.
Wembley Stadium.
He's always touring, but he's touring. He's in the country at the moment.
Yeah, and it was like just a mad amount of people just crammed in. It looked amazing, though.
He did so much for the Glockenspiel, Bruce Springsteen, you know? On Born to Run, it's... On that ting-ting-ting-ting. You know, heavy Glock.
Really brought it back.
Yeah. I'm sorry I've been sort of so useless because you know you're great, and I like that you said the word oppressive. I thought it was a really good description.
Yeah.
I feel myself almost sort of ducking slightly when that music came on, because it's that kind of like, oh.
Well, he's telling you how it is. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So you've either got to listen or you've got to go away. Do you know what I mean?
Do you know what I mean? Like whatever. Like, it's your show. It's not even your show. It's John Holmes' show, mate. So do you know what I mean? Like, step off. Yeah. Step the flip off. Can I say that, or do we need
careful
to
careful with the effing and Jeff?
I can say that. It's fine. Poor old Jeff. Obviously, we have updates on steps every 15 minutes here on Talk Radio. And I think the latest news is that they're still not back together. Heartbreaking. Yeah. For everyone, but we dare to hope. But thank you so much for telling us all about the new releases. What's your favourite out of those four, then?
It's toughy. I'm going to go for Vic Mensa, because I was really disappointed by the Avalanches, because I listened to the track, I was really excited. Oh, new stuff, 16 years, blah, 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 blah. And this track, I was like, oh, they could have released that 16 years ago. It doesn't really sound very fresh.
Okay.
Drake, Gucci Mane, fairly average. Twin Atlantic was good, but I think the strongest, the most interesting out of all of them is Vic Mensa. I would definitely recommend that EP to give a listen.
Brilliant. Aidan, if people want to follow you on Twitter and stuff, can they do that?
They can, if they really want.
Yeah, go on.
Aidan Judd, AIDANJUDD, @. Yeah. I talk about football mostly, and sometimes music.
Okay, yeah. You nearly had them. And then you said, after the news, rather, we're going to be putting summer footwear in the dock.
Talk Radio, 24-hour radio debate and entertainment.
Talk Radio.
We'll get you talking.
All of us at QuickFit would like to say a big thank you. So with each promotional tyre you buy, we'll give you a spin of Jaffa's Wheel, where you could win 25% off Aircon Recharge, a free 40-point brake check, 20% off your service, and much more. So get down to your local QuickFit today. QuickFit, it's all about the service.
So, Clive, what do you think of these new flavours from Burton's Fish and Chips?
Well, Ian, they've been fantastic. They've got a strong lineup with salt and vinegar, pickled onion and curry sauce flavours. But the question is, who'll complete the squad? Yes, Ian, red sauce is full of flavour and strong in the crunch, but brown sauce has plenty of bite and a big, bold taste.
You decide which one of these great new flavours will make the final squad on July the 1st. Burton's Fish and Chips kicks hunger into the back of the net.
Can a car be stylish and affordable, have tricks up its sleeve like Advanced Park Assist, buy Xenon headlights, come with a year's free insurance and be yours to drive for just $169 a month? Yes, it's a Corsa. And yes, it might leave you breathless. The Vauxhall Corsa Limited Edition 1.4i 75 PS 3-door with a year's free insurance for just $169 a month over 35 months with $2,704 advance rental. To find out more, search Corsa offers. Personal contract hire. Excess miles of contracted mileage of 24,000 over 36 months charged at 7 pence per mile. You will not own the car. Insurance underwritten by GS Insurance Limited. First year free insurance, 21 to 75-year-olds. License held minimum 1 year. 18 to 20s, contact your local retailer. T's and C's apply. Offer ends 30th June.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
A radio star is born.
You're going to love
Talk Radio. Talk Radio.
In the next hour, we're going to be talking to Robin Morgan, a very charming comedian, about the weirdest things he's ever lost and found. But first, let's catch up with the latest news headlines with Victoria Bourne.
Thanks, Jake. Coming up, a new warning of terror attacks at Euro 2016. Teens admit kidnapping a toddler from Primark. And the Playboy Mansion has been sold.
Talk Radio.
The government is warning fans travelling to Euro 2016 to be vigilant at all times because of the threat of terrorism. It says British counter-terror officers are playing a key part in planning against attacks that may target stadiums and fan zones. Defence journalist Francis Tousser has told Talk Radio they will do everything within their power in France.
Not really that well known in Britain is after the Bataclan attacks and so forth, the French now have the shy end of what? 12,000 troops on the street, and this is going to go up for the Euros. So in terms of trying to get enough armed people on the street so that if something happens, they can respond quicker than you could possibly imagine.
Two teenage girls have admitted kidnapping a toddler from a Primark shop in Newcastle. The two-year-old was eventually reunited with her mother an hour and 45 minutes later after the girls were traced on CCTV back in April. The 13 and 14-year-old will be sentenced next month. Mike Ashley, the boss of Sports Direct, has told MPs that he's discovered what he calls issues at the retailer as part of an internal review. A committee is investigating working practices at the firm's warehouse in Derbyshire, including poor conditions, the use of controversial zero-hours contracts and paying less than the minimum wage. Mr. Ashley says he welcomes the increased scrutiny.
I've got nothing to hide. Come on, will you find it 100% perfect? Of course you won't. You will find things out that I obviously don't know are going on or happening. I have no issues with this as an ongoing process, and I prefer it to be totally independent.
Three South Yorkshire police officers, two of which are still serving, are to go on trial next year, accused of using a police helicopter to spy on naked people. A pilot also pleaded not guilty to charges of misconduct in a public office. An attack on a bus has killed at least 11 people in Istanbul. Seven officers and four other people died in what's the fourth major bomb attack in the Turkish city this year. You have just 9 hours to register to vote if you want to have your say in the EU referendum later this month. The deadline is midnight. And Hugh Hefner's billionaire neighbour has bought the Playboy Mansion. Some reports suggest it went for roughly £76 million, which is significantly less than the £137 million asking price. One of the conditions of the sale is that the 90-year-old can stay there until his death. Notorious nightclub owner Peter Stringfellow has told Talk Radio Hefner didn't want him to visit.
Charlie Sheen used to hang out and we used to get a few drinks together. And he said, I'm going up to the Playboy Mansion at the weekend. Would you like to come and join me? And I said, well, only if you get a personal invitation from Hugh Hefner himself. He said, oh, you're my friend, you don't need it. I said, I think I might do. Anyway, he came back, he said, strange, I can't get any an answer.
Talk Radio National Weather.
Warm but turning cloudy this afternoon with a chance of some potentially torrential downpours and some thunder. Highs of 26 degrees.
Talk Radio Sports Update.
I'm Ben Fletcher. Good afternoon. England fullback Kyle Walker says the squad isn't weighed down with expectation ahead of Euro 2016. They start their tournament against Russia in Marseille on Saturday, and Walker thinks they can go far at the finals.
I don't feel no pressure whatsoever. I look around and I've got some fantastic players around me. We can go on and win. There's nothing saying that we can't do that. So if we just keep doing what the gaffer says, keep to the basics, I think is very important, you know, with a little bit of edge from the front players, and I think we'll do fantastically well.
Defender Ryan Bertrand was the only squad member not to play a full part in training this morning at their base in Chantilly as he recovers from a knock. Northern Ireland manager Michael O'Neill claims there are no major concerns after Carl Lafferty limped out of training this morning. The striker looked in pain as he appeared to pick up a groin injury and headed straight for the ice bath. And Wales have doubts over Joe Ledley and Joe Allen ahead of their opener against Slovakia on Sunday. Finally, there are mixed reports about when Jamie Vardy will reveal his decision about his future. It's claimed by some that the Leicester striker, who we understand is the subject of a £20 million offer from Arsenal, will wait until after the Euros before confirming either way. Others reckon Vardy could make an announcement as early as this afternoon. That's your latest sports news, powered by TalkSport.
Talk Radio.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Jake Yap on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
Good afternoon to you. My name's Jake Yap. I am the locum presenter of choice for Talk Radio. So while John Holmes is away for his obedience training, apparently he's got through four collars already from what I've heard. I'm taking care of business. Elvis, that was his catchphrase, wasn't it? Taking care of business.
Taking care of business.
Was it?
Yeah, that's what he used to say. He had TCB. On a thing somewhere. Taking care of business. In the show so far, we've heard about post-capitalism with Paul Mason. We've spoken to a woman who has lived for a year without lavatory paper. And we've learned about the laxative properties of raw coconut milk. So whichever way you look at it, we're taking care of business.
No.
Wow. Nothing from the producer there. Still to come, summer footwear is on trial for crimes against the environment. And comedian Robin Morgan is sharing the things he's lost and found. But first, I've got some sort of news for you. Sort of bogusy news. This is from today's Daily Mail. It was just a story that broke yesterday, but people are talking about it. This is the human organs grown in pigs story, where geneticists are trying to, well, grow human organs in pigs. Fairly self-explanatory headline. Well, according to the Daily Mail today, human organs in pigs is no worse than eating bacon, a leading geneticist has claimed. Professor Sir John Byrne of Newcastle University. He's backed US scientists who've created a hybrid pig-human embryo. And he said the project was a vital way of tackling the shortage of transplant organs. And you had a question for me, didn't you, Cass?
I did, yes. Yesterday, when we couldn't talk to each other on the talkback screen,
yeah.
I asked, because there's like face transplants and that's a big thing.
Yeah.
If you lost your face in an industrial accident,
yes,
would you wear a pig face?
Would anyone know the difference? Ah.
Well, that's why I'm asking.
Sure, why not? I think that would be adorable. I'd look like Babe. A cross between Texas Chainsaw Massacre and Babe. It would be amazing. Can you imagine? They should have done that. It would basically be an abattoir. Just an abattoir. Well, it's interesting that in the same paper, a few pages later, there's this big editorial by A.N. Wilson, who says, "Why producing pigs with human organs demeans both our species and theirs."
Really?
Yeah, he says, all kinds of horrible questions arise. Cannibalism is the ultimate taboo, but just think of eating the bacon of a pig with a human brain.
But they're not proposing that.
If two people love each other very much. Well, no, of course they're not proposing that. But I guess it's the point is if you have an animal that is we're using to replace human being bits, is it then still okay to eat it? Or does that become a societal taboo?
I reckon they'll just 3D print everything soon anyway.
You're such a question dodger. You eat... pig, right?
All the meat. Well, not all the meat. A lot of meat. I do.
Yeah.
Pig is one of my favourite.
Would you take a heart, say, that had been grown in a pig, if you had to?
What, to eat?
To have put in your...
Yeah, I'll take them all. I'll take every organ.
Okay. Cornelius, did you feel comfortable with all of this?
Yeah, I'm happy. Just whatever. Oh, brilliant. Shove anything in there.
About the welfare of the pigs. Oh, brilliant. I don't know why I was worried. Oh, that's made my day. Brilliant. Thank you very much. Wonderful news. Yeah, it doesn't matter about them, does it? It's time now for me to attempt, without the benefit of in-service training, to play this.
In the Dark.
It worked.
Hey.
Brilliant. This is our sort of a kangaroo court. It's where we put pop culture on trial. And we've had various things, haven't we, in the past? We've had Piers Morgan for the crime of cockiness, who we found not guilty. Extraordinary shock verdict.
Is that the royal we? Because
shock. Well, okay, I did as judge. No, you listening can be the jury. I'll set up a poll on Twitter directly.
Will you remember?
At Jake Yap. Well, it's not that I didn't remember. It's just that there was no internet at all yesterday. Nothing worked. So I'll set that poll up directly. It's at Jake Yap if you'd like to cast your
vote.
We'll
retweet it as well on Talk Radio.
There you go. You see, because Cornelius has his laptop today. Basically, we're firing on all cylinders. It's a very, very hot show. Anyway, in the dock today, we're putting summer footwear. The charge is environmental crimes. I'm the judge. It's time now for us to call the counsel for the prosecution.
Call the counsel for the prosecution. Call the counsel for the prosecution. Call the counsel for the prosecution. Call the counsel for the prosecution.
Still fresh.
Call the counsel for the prosecution. Call the counsel for the prosecution.
You have the floor, counsel for the prosecution.
Thank you, my lord.
Welcome.
The jury today, in front of this media circus, and I, by that I mean a fairly new radio station, we, the prosecution, are accusing summer footwear of environmental crimes. You've heard about greenhouse gases, but nobody ever talks about greenhouse footwear, specifically the shoes that you would wear whilst working in a greenhouse. Global warming is a serious threat to the human existence, and we are putting the blame at the foot of the door of summer footwear.
Sorry, as judge, I shouldn't have said that was good. That was good.
Well, you always like my arguments, and then you always rule against me.
I leave it open. I've only once have I had to cast the vote when we had
objection.
Objection? What's your objection?
Get a room, jeez.
Carry on.
Overruled.
Have you ever noticed that whenever anyone is wearing summer footwear, the temperature increases?
What?
The temperature increases.
Okay.
Global warming, because people wear summer footwear.
Okay.
What would Mother Nature think? Surely she has enough on her mind looking after 7 billion people and the whole planet on her own due to an absent Father Nature. Summer footwear is causing a serious problem to the environment.
Okay.
Shoes are going rogue. Brogues especially. And this prosecution will not be sweared.
Oh.
I'd like to show you Exhibit A. Flipping flip-flops. Surely the strongest piece of evidence. Flip-flops make people cry. They create an unpleasant sound, which in turn creates an unpleasant social environment. Another environment harmed. I can't say what type of person wears them on the radio, but let me assure you, it rhymes with the word clogs.
Clogs?
Yeah.
The
problem with summer footwear...
I can only think of the 60s band The Trogs, but...
Can I continue?
It's my call! I'm the judge!
Yeah, and you're holding up proceedings.
You may continue. I will have you up for contempt, though.
The problem with summer footwear is that it's in your face. It's in your face with its filthy, hairy toes. We, the prosecution, are sick of sandals, waltzing around, arrogantly naked. It makes me sick, which is also probably really bad for the environment for some reason. I rest my case.
Call the counsel for the defence.
Call the counsel for the defence. Call the counsel for the defence. Call the counsel for the defence.
Call the counsel for the defence.
Call the counsel for the defense.
You're not a part of the defense.
Well, those aren't flip flops.
Proper footwear.
Hypocrite.
You have the floor, counsel for the defence.
Oh, my lord, the jury, etc. We, the counsel for the defence, are saying that your accusations that summer footwear is causing global warming are completely flawed. And it is in fact, has so many flaws. Watch me walk all over them in summer footwear. Yes, first of all, people are happier when summer shoes are worn because it's summer and everyone likes summer except snowmen, and they don't even wear shoes at all, so they don't really count. How can you want to have a pop at summer shoes? Have you no soul?
Objection.
I tell you what does have soul. Shoes! Even summer shoes!
What's your objection?
I really don't have a soul.
Okay, then.
I withdraw.
Fair enough, yeah.
Overall,
I bet you lot just want to walk around barefooted, don't you? Well, do you know how much heroin the kids are taking nowadays? Loads. In London alone, there is a dirty needle to every square foot of pavement. Surely you could wear winter shoes, but then you'd have warm, sweaty feet.
Objection.
Now, go on.
Where are you getting your statistics from? Where's these facts?
This script.
Statistics are 9.5.
Yes. Now, I don't want to live in a world where you have to decide between having warm, sweaty feet or wading barefoot through a sea of dirty needles. The environment is a very precious thing and we should enjoy it. And to do that, we should be exposing our feet as much as possible to it, which we do by wearing summer footwear. Now, this is all very well for the fashion police over there, a subsection of the fun police, to tell us what they don't like, including summer shoes. But all I have to say is all for one and one for sandals.
Wow. I may have you up for contempt for that one pun. That's not even a pun. Amazing. If you want to wade into this debate, it's 87222 on the text.
Start your message with the word talk.
Or you can get in touch on Twitter, it's at Talk Radio.
Start your message with the word ban summer footwear.
You're trying to be very
content,
prejudicial
yeah,
there to
objection.
The outcome. And you can, of course, cast your vote, although I'm not going to lie to you, I wrote my Twitter poll thing in haste. Which means that I said smooer footwear. Guilty or not guilty?
Agreed.
Smooer footwear. I should really
learn to type
or just learn to to pre-produce a show a bit better. That's what I should do. So cast your votes now, and we will have. Is there any cross examination today or anything? No.
You can't, like, after the ads, there can be, or you can do it now.
Well, I quite like to call a witness. The court calls Marta.
Marta,
open your fader and tell us what's your objection? Have you got a problem with flip-flops?
I hate flip-flops.
Yes.
On the tube. People who wear them, because obviously flip-flops don't go out there on their own, do they?
They don't go on their own?
I mean, there's people wearing them.
Yeah.
My point is, people who wear flip-flops on the tube, I hate them all.
It's those kinds of people.
What's wrong with wearing them on the tube as opposed to anywhere else?
Because the tube is like, in the summer, it's really warm in there.
Right.
Perfect.
So you want to keep your feet...
But I have to see them. I have to smell...
Can I ask a question?
Yes.
Marta,
yeah?
Have you ever been held up by someone on the tube... because they're running to catch a connecting train, and because they're in flip-flops, they can't run properly, and then they kind of like scuttle along, kind of like a one-legged pigeon, and they slow down. Has that ever happened?
That's happened to me with my brother, because my brother's one of those people. He's one of them.
Well, then he should
I
be
don't
shocked.
See what's wrong with naked feet. It's fine. Look.
I don't want to see
that. That's my foot.
There it is. There it is. Right, court adjourned. Court adjourned. We'll be back after this.
Talk Radio. Dial up some dialogue.
Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
Is your chili con carne more like chili con carnage? Your fondue more of a fondant? Then you really need to listen to the recipe of the day on Talk Radio with Encona. This Saturday morning from 8, join Penny Smith and a top chef special guest as they demonstrate a fresh and flavoursome new recipe guaranteed to give you kitchen kudos. Plus, answer a cookery question at talkradio.co.uk/competitions to win a hamper of Encona goodies. The recipe of the day on Talk Radio in association with Encona. Banish the bland.
It's a beautiful thing when little things come together. Life is in the details. The new Volvo V40R design with adaptive digital display, Thor hammer headlights and 17-inch diamond cut alloys. Now all this and more from just £259 a month, including maintenance, with Volvo car leasing with an initial rental of £259.
4-year contract hire agreement offer ends June 30th, subject to status. Mileage and return conditions apply. Optional maintenance covers routine servicing, tyres, replacement parts and repairs due to fair wear and tear. Visit volvocars.co.uk for more details.
Book a test drive today at your nearest Volvo showroom.
Let's start the meeting with a round of quick-fire questions. Whoever gets the most correct answers gets tomorrow off. First question, what's the most efficient way to manage our expenses?
Concur.
How can you capture supplier invoices electronically and manage approvals from anywhere?
Concur.
By switching to blank, we now have the tools that give us full visibility into company spend.
Concur.
Bob, you're the winner. You get tomorrow off.
But tomorrow's Saturday.
A deal's a deal.
Oh.
Expense, travel, invoice. Learn more at concur.co.uk.
Talk Radio, traffic and travel.
Quite a few problems with the M1 through West Yorkshire with southbound delays because of an accident near Wakefield. Two lanes are out, Yorkshire's 40 to 39. A breakdown further down at 29 for Chesterfield and Mansfield is causing delays. And the northbound M1 through Northamptonshire, there's queues because of a breakdown near Dunchurch between junction 17 and 18. The M6 north through the West Midlands is slowing down. There's a vehicle which is stranded junction 6 through to 7 and one lane's closed for recovery. And no change in Newry in Armagh. The southbound A1 closed by an accident at the A28. I'm Jarena Adams.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
Mid-mornings with Julia Hartley Brewer. Join the titanium lady of Talk Radio for 3 hours of provocative discussion, intelligent analysis and fearless comment.
Mid-mornings with me, Julia Hartley Brewer. Your one-stop shop for debate about the stories that everyone's talking about. No nonsense, no prisoners, no substitutes.
Get both barrels from Judge Julius.
Julia Hartley Brewer, tomorrow morning from 10.
On your all-new speech station, Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Jake Yap on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
Very good afternoon to you. It's Jay Gap sitting in for John Holmes. Sam Delaney will be here at 4 o'clock, thumbing you into the evening. And in the meantime, in the dock, we have Summer Footwear. It's on trial for environmental crimes. We've heard the counsel for the prosecution. We've heard the counsel for the defence. Ed Newsome on Twitter, good afternoon, has testified. He simply says flip, flop, flim, flam. I don't actually know what that means in terms of which way he's prepared to vote. You can be the jury. You can cast your vote on Twitter. It's at Jake Yap. You can have a look at it on my feed, or you can go to at Talk Radio and have a look at it on theirs. Get wherever you like.
I just voted.
Have you?
Yep.
I did as well.
Did you?
Yeah.
Shocking. Well, maybe I will. I'm the judge. I can't do that.
No.
So we've heard, and in a way, I guess it's just time for the result, right?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay, well, let me get it up on Twitter. I don't know if the poll's closed. There's probably still time. You could probably influence this outcome of this. I would say that from an environmental perspective, though, when you consider, so it's very close. You know, you actually probably could sway this. You have to look at every impact on the environment. There's the little particles of plastic that go into the oceans that fish feed on. And, of course, if you're walking on a beach in flip-flops, the soft soles, that's all going to grind off. You know, we heard last week, didn't we, about tyre particles from roads. Mm. That's what's ending up in the oceans that the fish are eating. And, you know, there's terrible contamination. And yeah, go
on. Is it not the same with trainers, though? Just normal trainers, just normal
non-summer. You don't wear them on the beach, though?
I do, on pebble beaches.
Not a nice sandy soft beach.
Well, that's true, but you know,
it depends how hot the sand is.
Yeah.
And then, of course, one can talk about how they look aesthetically. Some people quite like, you know, some people quite like seeing naked feet on display. Mm. I had a really weird experience.
There's places that can go for that.
I had a weird experience at Olympia. I won't go into it. And then there's the sort of the environmental concern of the smell, because it's an irony that sometimes summer footwear can end up smelling worse than winter footwear, because I guess it's all just bottled up. Like when I wear rubbery sandals, you know, you can get the sort of rugged rubbery sandals.
Mm. Of course you own those.
I used to own those.
Hipster.
This T-shirt, where do you think this T-shirt came from?
Your house?
BHS. Where do you think these shorts came from?
Safari.
Tesco's, Marta. You're right. On the nose. That's not hipster. And I'm not, it's not like in an ironic way. It's in a kind of, like, oh, I'm shopping with a three-year-old. There's some jeans, shorts that might fit me. I'll just grab them. They're only 14.
Or I'm shopping with a three-year-old that's just been sick down me. I need to buy some new trousers. Or
thank
shorts.
You very much. Oh, so hipster that. Yeah, I went to this amazing toddler sick bar in Shoreditch. It was really cool. This three-year-old threw up over me and it was really cool. Like, well, I'm not a hipster. Anyway, so there's all the... I can't say... I'm not going to say who, but a relative of mine, right?
Is it your cousin?
I'm not going to say. A relative of mine, I once went on holiday with him and he had Ragged Manly sandals. And I was like, what's that? What are you doing? And he'd got like odour eaters, you know, those insole odour control things, and he put them in his sandals. So you could see the sort of blue... thing underneath,
like a lining
just sticking out a bit. Yeah,
it's very, but was odd
it
behavior.
Was it for cushiony softness? Was it just odor eaters or was it the cushiony softness ones?
It was odor eaters. Idiot. Because of the smell. He's not an idiot, he smelled lovely. So the jury has returned a verdict, ladies and gentlemen. It's time now to decide whether or not summer footwear is guilty of environmental crimes, and the verdict is guilty.
Yes.
It's guilty.
Winner.
I should pass sentence by saying they should all be recycled into plastic decking, which people can then stand on in their trainers going to barbecues where it'll be raining anyway. That's the best I've got. What are you looking at? What are you looking at?
I'm looking at the telly for tomorrow because we've not picked what we're watching.
Oh, yeah, that's a good idea. This is TV Club. We do this at 2 o'clock, probably, unless something weird happens, where it's like Richard and Judy's book club. Only we don't bother reading books because print is dead. Instead, we talk about TV because that's all that people care about. Have you found something?
Annoyingly, the only thing that's really on is Big Brother, and I refuse to watch it.
Okay, so Big Brother and...
No.
Yes, and... No. Everyone's going to watch Big Brother!
Love Island. Can we watch that as
no.
well? I've been watching that.
Has it already started, though?
Yeah.
No. Big Brother launches tonight, doesn't it?
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we should watch Big Brother.
Okay, Big Brother, yes!
I hate every single
Let's
time.
Let's get into Big Brother.
That would be great. Big Brother and... I tell you what, Connie's going to do it randomly. Tell me when to stop. You can't look at where I'm pointing. Okay. I'm just whizzling my finger around over the TV listings
page.
I'll
tell you when to stop.
Okay.
Ta-da.
Anytime soon before the ads.
Yeah, well...
It's 4.5 minutes to fill. Come on.
You're smudging the page.
Stop.
Emmerdale.
Oh my god! This is the worst. I'm not watching it. I'm gouging my eyes out.
So that's tomorrow's show from 2 o'clock. We'll be reviewing Emmerdale at 7 o'clock tonight. And
is it the first one of Emmerdale, is it?
Yeah, I think so. It's a new series, yeah. And Big Brother, the live launch at 9 o'clock tonight on Channel 5. I had a news story I was going to talk about, and then I sort of lost it.
I've got one.
Oh, yeah, go on then.
Yeah, so Banksy has done graffiti at one of, not his old school, but a school in Bristol that has commemorated him.
Oh. So he's done the thing that he normally does.
Yeah. So
that's not news.
Bridge Farm Primary in
Primary
in Bristol named a house after him, like a schoolhouse, like Gryffindor. They've gone for Banksy, and he's thanked them by sneaking into the grounds and doing a picture on the wall.
Isn't that trespassing? So he trespassed at the school.
Well, it doesn't paint, you know, doesn't set a great example to your students, does it? When, you know, they said, oh, what's this guy do? I mean, obviously Banksy's great, but, you know, oh, we've just rewarded him for drawing on the buildings. And, you know, we used to get in trouble for that so much at school.
You should still get into trouble for it now.
The Bridge Farm Primary, you won't.
Well, the thing is, it's sort of a gift. If you went there as a kid and you like doing graffiti, because he'd be like, Perkins! Did I catch you spray painting on the school wall? No, sir, it's Banksy, sir. Banksy doesn't do things as anatomical as that. No, that's Banksy, sir. It's worth 300 grand. All right, brother, I'll give you the benefit of the doubt. Off you go. I saw this story in the Daily Star today.
Quality.
Always a byword for quality and journalistic excellence. But this is... It's quite entertaining. Brian Blessed said that the Queen...
Can you say it in a Brian Blessed voice?
Brian Blessed told me what the... Can I say that?
You can say that, but not that.
Yeah, obviously, yeah.
Yeah.
Brian Blessed said that the Queen told me what the F word means. Apparently, actor Brian Blessed has revealed that the Queen turned the air blue, just like her blood, as they shared a filthy joke about the F word.
Her Majesty...
He does that, doesn't he?
That's he does a bit, yeah.
Her Majesty told the Flash Gordon star she was in fits of giggles after he blurted out, while hosting BBC show, Have I Got News For You?
The monarch also asked him to... I won't carry on like that. The monarch also asked him to perform his famous catchphrase, Gordon's Alive! From the 1980s cult flick. He said...
Does that mean the Queen has seen Flash Gordon?
Yeah.
Yeah, she must
have. That's quite a cool idea.
Have you seen Flash Gordon?
No, I haven't.
Of course you haven't.
Apparently, the Queen said, that funny story you told about going to the toilet on Everest, Mr. Blessed, what I would like to say to you is that the word is an Anglo-Saxon word, and it means... Can I say that?
You can, because it's its actual...
Yeah.
Spreading the seed. Can you imagine? Still, the Queen.
It still does, doesn't it?
Thank you very much, Your Highness. Blessed said, the Queen continued, Do know, Mr. Blessed, we watch Flash Gordon all the time. There you are!
We watch it all the time, Mr. Blessed, with the children and grandchildren. On. So, would you mind saying, Gordon's alive!
Gordon's alive!
I've recorded a couple of voiceovers with Brian Blessed in the past, when I was a producer. And important and respected. And he will always, you know, like you get, like Paddy McGuinness was on the Jonathan Ross chat show saying he tried to go and buy a fancy new kitchen. He walked into the kitchen showroom and this guy went, no likey, no lighty. It's like, all right, mate, I'm trying to buy a kitchen here. And it's like, dude, you're buying that kitchen thanks to the catchphrase, no likey, no lighty. Have some humility, have some grace, and understand what's paying your bills right now. Brian Blessed is like the antithesis of Paddy McGuinness. He, like the drop of a hat, Gordon's alive! I found the tunnel! Blah, blah, blah. Like, or every catchphrase, he will get them out all the time. He cannot stop getting his phrases out. Every day. Anyway. He's a very lovely man. That's what I'm saying.
Oh, that's a nice story.
There you go. Heartwarming. Why don't we catch up with the latest news headlines with Victoria Bourne.
Talk Radio.
The Foreign Office has issued new advice warning football fans travelling to Euro 2016 about the potential for a terror attack. It says stadiums, fan zones, transport hubs and other venues could potentially be targets for extremists. Security expert Will Geddes has told Talk Radio France has been on high alert since November's attacks.
But they're still under a state of emergency, so there will be military, special forces and all the various elements that they can bring together to obviously protect fans. And in total, across the 10 locations, there are going to be 90,000 plus police and security in various shapes and forms, obviously providing protection around both the stadium and those fan zones.
Two teenagers have admitted kidnapping a toddler from a Primark store in Newcastle. The girls, aged 13 and 14, were tracked by CCTV after they snatched the two-year-old in April. The boss of Sports Direct has admitted there are issues with working practice at the retailer, but claims the firm is better at looking after the staff than trade unions. Mike Ashley has been questioned by MPs after criticism of the conditions at the chain's warehouse in Derbyshire. The United Nations says 10,000 people have now died trying to cross the Mediterranean to reach Europe since 2014. According to the UN's refugee agency, more than 2,800 people have lost their lives so far this year. Some breaking news in the last couple of minutes. Chelsea and Jose Mourinho have reached a settlement with ex-team Dr. Eva Carneiro at an employment tribunal over claims she was constructively dismissed by the club and discriminated by its former manager. We'll bring you more on this as we get it. And people in Prince's hometown of Minnesota are being encouraged to wear purple to mark what would have been his 58th birthday. The state's governor, who's describing it as Prince Day, has praised the singer for his revolutionary music and iconic identity. The star died in April from an accidental overdose. The weather, heavy and thundery showers will continue for many areas this evening, but will become confined to the southeast and central England overnight. Lows of 14 degrees. Tomorrow starts off mostly dry before showers develop during the day, mainly in the west, before spreading to the southeast. There's more in half an hour.
Start your engines, petrol heads, and don't miss the Motor Show. It's automotive for the people on your radio. Sports cars, pickups, 4x4s, GTI or coupe. What convertible is best to buy for a bloke who wears a toupee? He's the motor mouth with the V8 brain. His car know-how is stunning. Listen to Revved Up Andy J and get your motor running.
The Motor Show with Andy J.
Expert car talk that doesn't use a sneaky gadget to improve emissions.
This Saturday afternoon from 3 on Talk Radio.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Jake Yap on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
Hello, I'm Sam Delaney. I'll be taking care of business from 4 o'clock today. Was that all right? That wasn't bad.
It's not too bad.
Better. Sam Delaney will be here from 4. It's Jake Yap sitting in for John Holmes today and tomorrow. John Holmes back on Thursday. And this is a little strand that we've been trying out. It's a sort of interesting thing, generally. It's called Lost and Found. And the idea is that we ask someone who's hilarious and entertaining and thoughtful and sensitive and very attractive. And also sitting about a metre away from me, but backing away, to tell us about the most unusual thing that they've ever lost and found. And today, it's Robin Morgan. Hi.
Hi, mate.
Hi.
How are you?
Yeah, I'm all right. Nice to see you.
You too.
Now, first of all, tell us a little bit about yourself. What's your name? Where'd you come from? You're a comedian.
I'm a comedian.
And you serve a lot of whales, don't you?
Yes. Lived there for 25 years. Go back like a exiled king. Once a week on the Megabus.
I was going to say, my favourite thing following you on Twitter is the Megabus updates, because it's riveting. It's like a real-time update. Generally, on when you've misbooked things.
Oh, yeah, I'm a shambles of a human being. I'll just book about 3 a week at differing times, differing cities. But when I do get it, I get the top deck seat at the front, like on the DLR, like I'm driving the Megabus.
You're a pro. I used to do a radio show in Leeds, and I was a pro on the Megabus. Yeah, I knew which seat to get. But I always like it when you say, does anyone fancy going to Cardiff at 3 o'clock in the morning on Sunday?
I mean, I may have booked one of those for this week, so put it out. Put a poll out.
There you go.
If anyone wants some dirty late night.
Is it? I've never done a 3 a.m. Megabus.
It's the bleakest thing. I think you just need to sort of get cans of G&T and then it's fine.
Is it the only... It sounds like a unique social experiment. It's Lost and Found.
Yes.
Tell us about the most remarkable thing you ever lost.
So it's the same thing that I lost and found.
Interesting. Well, what are we going to do after the advert break? In fact,
I'll lose something. I've got two. I've got a backup.
That's fine. Go on.
I went to New York a year and a half ago to propose to my girlfriend and lost the ring in the back of an Uber.
You did not.
I left my bag in the back and didn't realise, and it drove off.
Dude.
I know.
Oh, that's horrendous.
It's like, literally, I couldn't sort of let on of how upset I was.
So, oh, God, of course!
Yeah, exactly. So you can't go like,
my notepad!
Exactly.
Yeah. Damn!
Yeah. All my Megabus tickets are in there.
Wow, so tell us about this whole trip. How long have you been with your...
At that point, about five and a half years?
Okay.
Yeah.
And so you planned this big trip.
Yeah.
And so obviously for you, you were like, this is it, this is the one. So you were probably quite keyed up as it was, right?
What do you mean keyed up?
Well, like on the trip, because you're thinking,
exactly.
The question.
Well, I thought I'd put it in a backpack, because I didn't want to put it in the suitcase, because I thought, I'm not going to be an idiot, leave it in the cargo. I've seen as many sitcoms where that happens. So leave it on a backpack. And then the Uber driver who picked us up was quite old, and he struggled to put the big suitcase in the bag when... we got it. Mm-hmm. So when we arrived at the Airbnb, I said, oh, it's fine, mate. I'll take it out. Trying to be a gentleman. Yeah. Took the big suitcase out and, like a muppet, left the backpack in there.
You're such a 21st century traveller with your Airbnb and your Uber and all of that business.
With my 3G.
And your 3G. Mr. 3G over here.
not 4G, 3G.
Yeah, yeah.
With your GPRS.
Ooh, with your WAP mail. You don't even know what that means with you. Children, adorable. You said it was the same thing.
Yeah.
Well, what the hell? Well, let's just jump in. So, did you retrieve this?
Yeah. So, the glorious thing, if it was just a yellow cab, I would never have been able to sort of trace it. But because it was Uber, I had the sort of the guy's number, so it just kept on calling and calling and calling.
I should say that other cab firms that do that, Love a Get the phone and stuff, they're all available and stuff. But go on.
So, I called him and then didn't pick up for ages. Then he dropped it around after about like an hour or two.
Right.
So,
like, and then your girlfriend was like, why were you sobbing over that?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Why are you hugging Usman the driver? What's going on? But I offered him like a reward, bit of cash, and he goes, no. I was like, oh, dude, lovely. Oh,
that's nice.
But it was like about a year after I actually lost my phone in the back of a cab and then went home logged onto the old Find My Phone thing and saw it being driven around the streets of Cardiff before the battery died and it just went blah, 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 blah.
Really?
I know.
How sad. I didn't even know you could do that.
Mm-hmm. 21st century kids.
That's nuts. How do you... That's like a stalker's paradise.
Yes, it is.
That's quite terrifying. Wow.
Are you worried now that someone's tracking you?
Well, it's an interesting... it's a strange world we live in, isn't it? It's a strange world, Ron. A very strange world. I guess we've got to ask you the question, like...
Me and Usman are happily together, yes.
Thank you. Oh, what a lovely ending. What a lovely story, ladies and gentlemen. I don't think there's anything else to ask about that. All right, so you arrived. Had you planned the whole thing? Did you know where you were going to propose and all the rest of it?
So we tried to work out sort of our itinerary for the day, and I thought, that's going to be it. And then it's similar weather to how it is now, and sort of I wanted to do it on Brooklyn Bridge because I thought it would be good sort of like... skyline.
Right. Were just thinking about the selfies, weren't you? Really?
Oh, yeah, exactly.
Of course, yeah.
And there's a place to jump off if she says no. But then that got rained off. We couldn't go over it, so I had to sort of like have a plan B and a plan C.
Wow. Yeah. And what plan number did you get up to?
Didn't do any of them. Do you know the story?
I can't remember. I know it's a really awesome story. I'm sort of thinking, like, there's such an amazing sort of... reveal to this story I think we're going to make everybody wait for it. Let's catch up with the latest traffic and travel.
Across the UK, online and on DAB. Access all radios.
Talk radio. Give it some lip.
Join Sky with any TV bundle from £20 a month and get a free 32-inch LG TV. A free TV? Incredible! Did I say that out loud? Catch Sky Atlantic's must-see shows, including Billions, and get a free TV when you join Sky from £20 a month. Hurry, offer ends Thursday. Search Sky Bundles. Sky, believe in better.
Direct debit subject to status. Upfront £10 standard setup, minimum contract and further terms apply.
Everyone's a winner this week at TradePoint. We've got thousands of prizes to give away to help you enjoy the football in style. From smart TVs, official shirts and Carlsberg vouchers to the ultimate football party bundle. Make a purchase at your local TradePoint counter before Sunday 19th of June for your chance to win. Trade only.
The Peugeot 308. Powerful profile. Sleek lines. Really? Is this how we're supposed to choose a car? What if we based our decision on what the car is actually like to drive? Not just a quick spin around the block, but a 48-hour test drive. Remember, you buy the image, but you fall in love with the detail. Peugeot 308. Confidence built in. Arrange a 48-hour test drive at Peugeot.co.uk. Participating dealers only. Conditions apply.
Talk radio. Traffic and travel.
Quite a few problems with the M1 through West Yorkshire with southbound delays because of an accident near Wakefield. Two lanes are out, Yorkshire's 40 to 39. A breakdown further down at 29 for Chesterfield and Mansfield is causing delays. And the northbound M1 through Northamptonshire, there's queues because of a breakdown near Dunchurch between junction 17 and 18. The M6 north through the West Midlands is slowing down. There's a vehicle which is stranded junction 6 through to 7 and one lane's closed for recovery. And no change in Newry in Armagh. The southbound A1 closed by an accident at the A28. I'm Jarena Adams.
The Brothers Gould, tonight from 7 on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
Enjoy the anarchic nightly on-air battle for family supremacy as broadcast protocol gets logged through the studio window.
I'm Johnny Gould. Join me tonight from 7 only on Talk Radio. But it's not just me, it's Ash.
Right, man.
Engage yourself in radio folklore, phone calls, and fun.
I'm Ash, and he's Johnny, and together we are the Brothers Gould.
Destined to become the nation's favourite radio family.
Tonight from 7 on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Jake Yap on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
It's 18 minutes to Sam Delaney here on Talk Radio. He's going to be taking you all the way home if you go home between 4 and 7. If you don't, then it will be Johnny and Ash. And if you're already at home, well, congratulations to you. You've already won first prize. We're talking about lost and found, the most remarkable things that you've lost and found, with Robin Morgan, who's a comedian and a very lovely man. A really lovely man. I had a conversation with someone at some point who said, if people are horrible, right, in real life, sort of, people will sort of say, oh, yeah, he's funny. But if people are nice and funny,
yeah,
the first thing people say is, oh, he's lovely.
That's,
they never say they're funny as the first thing.
I mean, they don't with me either, so I think it's, oh, he's, he dresses well, doesn't he?
He smells incredible.
He makes an effort.
I'll tell you what, Ian Lee smells incredible. He's here from 10 o'clock tonight. So you've been taking us on this journey. We've been telling the story of you lost the wedding ring that you're going to use to propose to your girlfriend in New York on this big trip, but you recovered it from the driver of the cab that you left it behind in, and you had a plan to propose on Brooklyn Bridge.
Weather stopped that.
So you went to plan B. What was plan B?
The High Line, which I didn't know what it was, but it's sort of like this disused railway track in New York. Let me finish! Then they turned it into a park.
It just gets better, yeah.
So, and it's quite sort of like quite romantic, and you sort of like 20 feet up in the air.
Ah,
sort of
they've done that in Paris as well.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I think it's quite a nice idea, and I thought, you know, it's not as high up, but it's still there.
Yeah.
And then got a spot that I thought would be really good, and then was about to do it, and then loads of tourists sort of like kept coming in behind us, and I was like,
so you were literally on the point
about
of doing
to plunge,
it.
About
and
to
your heart,
drop.
Your heart pumping crazily, and adrenaline and everything. There's something I want to, should we get a sandwich?
Yeah, exactly. Are you
peckish? Wow, yeah. Okay.
Did your girlfriend not realize that you were about to do it?
I don't think so. Like, I think I was still on two legs, I hadn't like gone down to one knee. But I think, you know, I'd kind of semi-started the speech thing, and then I had to kind of like, get out of it. And
wow. Oh, you actually stuck?
Kind of, yeah. Well, I was trying to sort of like...
You know, I think you and I, you know, we're a great team, and we could eat a nice sandwich together. I don't know. Oh, man. So, plan C?
Plan C was, so we were going out for dinner that night, and we're going to go for a drink at a place called River Cafe that I'd never been before, and apparently it's quite sort of like posh, like right on the river, you can see like the views and stuff. So
I love that your girlfriend must be thinking, this is a killer trip to New York. We're going to all the best places.
Disused railways, by a river.
So
got there, and then said, should we go get a drink? And she said, no, I've got to say something, and then dropped onto one knee and proposed to me.
No!
Yeah.
God. That's adorable.
So she'd been planning it the same amount of time. She was planning to do it on Brooklyn Bridge.
No!
When I dragged us away on Highline, I essentially interrupted her, like she was doing it then. And
no
I hadn't realised, so I kind of heckled her proposal.
That's great, because I really like the idea of you saying, we make a great team, and her saying, there's something I want to tell you. And you're like, can you let me finish? Sorry. We make a great team. All right? God.
Yeah, crazy.
That's amazing. So
Isn't
the
it?
Two of you independently have been... Had she got a ring or anything?
Yeah, she bought... She
no!
Bought a ring. Yeah,
oh,
yeah.
God.
I know.
Cornelius, do you want a bucket? What's wrong with you?
Are you a fan?
Oh, no, it's just... That's just wasted money then. Did you take it back, the ring?
We just sort of, yeah, she got quite a good deal out of it, as in she proposed and got a ring.
Oh, yeah, that's quite
cool.
She smashed it. Not the ring, as in, like... Oh, yeah, kind of...
That's a bit of a weird reaction.
I should choose my words more carefully.
Yeah. Is that a maybe?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
What's amazing is that she bought a ring, because... like, traditionally that doesn't happen very much. But yeah. also, she could actually support her claim. That,
yeah, I know.
I was going to propose to you!
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah, prove it. Oh, you got to...
You need a bit of proof, don't you? Otherwise yeah. it just seems like a sick joke.
It's just like she's trying to steal your thunder, you know? It's
exactly.
Like, oh, yeah, yeah, I was going to do that to you.
I asked you first.
Yeah. Oh, that's adorable.
It's nice, isn't it?
That's amazing. And so what? So then what happened? Did you both just blub uncontrollably?
Yeah, I didn't know. Like, we had to go for a little drink and sort of work out what the F has just happened here, you know? Like, because obviously we'd both been planning it for like 3 months.
Yeah.
But neither of us kind of known.
That's so
we've been
weird.
Lying to each other for 3 months.
It's amazing you didn't just have a fight.
Yeah.
That's amazing. So, wow. So, and then was there that sort of... Had you sort of relieved the tension then? It sort of felt like,
oh. Yeah, and then so I wanted to do
and it. And then you could actually enjoy it.
Yeah, exactly. That was the whole point of doing it on like the first day. So then you can go, oh no, we're in an amazing city.
Oh, wait, so you've gone around all these places in one day.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That was all day one. Like we arrived in the we flew in at like 3, 4 a.m.
Right.
So yeah, we had.
Oh.
That was a long day.
3, 4 a.m. Mm. Well, no wonder you left the thing in the back of the
yeah,
thing.
Yeah, I know.
And did you, was your Airbnb place nice?
It's all right.
He booked seven. He booked seven of them. So
yeah, right.
He,
of course,
on Twitter.
She booked one. So yeah. We're always doing the same.
Yeah, we've got on the same underwear this morning. It's bizarre. One pair.
We're not codependent.
No. That's lovely. So then, then it all went through, and you did all the thing.
Yeah, not married yet. Still engaged.
Oh, you're not married yet.
No.
Wait, when was this?
December 2014. It's gonna be one of those long engagements.
Wow.
Yeah, just need to get some money, mate.
Oh, is that what it's all about?
Which is why I'm here on this lucrative.
Of course. Yeah. Didn't even pay your travel.
What?
Well, all right. Let's try and make it lucrative.
Sure.
Let's try and make it lucrative by saying that you've got a fabulous one-man show. Have you not?
Yes. And if you enjoyed that story, forget it, because that's the Edinburgh show.
And you're going to be in Edinburgh.
Yes, the full run.
The full run.
Yeah.
Where and when are you on?
Just the Tonic Caves on Cowgate at 8 o'clock.
Nice. Have you done? You haven't done Edinburgh before.
I did half an hour last year as like a coward's hour, and then this is the this is the big one.
Right. So does that mean that you technically qualify for Best Newcomer?
Yes,
ladies and gentlemen, your Best Newcomer for 2016. Robin Morgan.
We'll be on the next show.
No, because we can't afford him.
Or her.
And are you... Or her. Thank you very much, Cornelius. I appreciate it. It's so important. I know you're doing previews.
Yeah, I've got one tonight at a Backyard Comedy Club in Bethnal Green.
Okay.
Which should be nice. And then Leicester Square Theatre in 2 weeks. The mini room. The little room.
The little room of the Leicester... The toilet.
The toilet.
The smallest room. What... Okay, that sounds good. And are you happy with the show?
Yeah, it's getting there. It's sort of I'm overrunning at the moment, which is a nice place to be.
Yeah,
but yeah, it's going all right.
It's quite a sort of nerve wracking. This is like the worst bit, I think.
Because
Have you learned it?
I'm still off notes a little bit. Yeah. I know obviously the engagement story. Because
you should do.
It's probably, real life.
You were there. Yes.
Yeah, exactly. Why have you got those notes in front of you?
Yeah, exactly.
Because it's a funny bit. Yeah.
But yeah, it's getting there.
Yeah.
But it's sort of like all year I've been saying it's 6 months away, 5 months away, now it's under 2 months away.
And are you going to be flyering yourself?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I enjoyed it last year.
I think you should. You're very personable.
Oh, thank you.
You know, and that's
horrible man in the street.
Yeah, I'm not going to fly on my show.
No? I'll fly your show.
Really?
No. Absolutely not.
All right. It's a good show. It's all right.
How's it all going?
It's okay. I'm taking a show to Edinburgh. It's called Jake Get One in a Million, and you can buy tickets and everything if you want. And I've done a couple of previews. So I did one quite soul destroying. Well, I did a nice one on Friday. It was in Hitchin, and there was a nice crowd, and they went with you. The week before that, I'd sort of lost the will to live. It was in this pub in East London somewhere. I mean, that's bad enough. But there were like 500 people in this pub. It was like a mega pub.
Yeah.
It had like two bars in different rooms, like hundreds of people milling around. And the place was thick. Like the atmosphere was like 85% dehydrated lager. Like, it was just, you know what I mean? Like, it was just, it was like a swamp in there of people. So many people. And I had to ask behind the bar, like, where's the room for the comedy thing? And they're like, oh, yeah, it's downstairs. So I go, and they've put a sign on the door, which is nice. Cool, to try and attract people down. It says, 7:30 Edinburgh preview. It was on at 8:30, and they hadn't said who it was. So like, I started writing, you know, live peep show, come and see, you know, animals, car batteries, everything. So, but no, like, the only people that came down were people looking for the toilet, and then finally, I was just thinking, this is brilliant. I can just go home and just have a cry on the train home. Yeah. That'd be brilliant. And then this very sweet couple arrived right at the last minute and said, hey, we're here for the comedy. I was like, I think I can fit you in. And I've played smaller audiences.
Yeah, yeah.
But, yeah, two people. So I sort of said, it's awful. You know, we should have sorted this out. I could have just come and done it in your lounge.
Yeah.
You know? So that was hard.
I did a preview last year to one person.
Did you?
Yeah, and we asked if, you know, it was three of us doing work in progress. I said, should we do it? And he goes, yeah. And then we each did, you know, he watched like 2.5 hours of comedy and then said, can I give it a go? And he did 20 minutes.
What, to no one?
To us.
To
we all sat there.
Oh,
it was
bizarre.
The most surreal experience.
Was he any good?
He was questionable.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's. I'm going to say it's harder than it looks, but I make it look incredibly hard. Incredibly hard. Well, where can people find you on social media then?
Robin J-A-Y Morgan.
Robin J. Morgan.
Yes, because someone's taken just the letter J. Don't follow him. He's the worst.
Oh, he sucks. Thank you. I'm going to plug my thing. I'm going to be at the Wenlock and Essex pub somewhere in East London. Wenlockandessex.com. Someone said it looked like Wenlock Andy's sex, but
that's what I am.
Is that what you are? Brilliant. Robin Morgan, thank you so much for coming
in. Thank you, mate.
It's been
a
pleasure to see you again. And good luck with Ember, and I'll try and come and see you.
Thanks, Matt.
If I get the chance. In the meantime, Sam Delaney is here at 4. Hi, Sam.
What's this on Twitter about you doing an impression of me? Let's hear it. Come on.
Let's hear it. Who said what? Who said that?
Someone on Twitter said, I love Jake Yap's impression of me. And it said something like, call Blimey Governor, which is something I've never seen. But I immediately got the gist of where you were going with it. Here's someone who I once heard drop a T.
No.
So I'll do some expressions from, like, the musical Oliver.
No, look, I'm not Dick Van Dyke.
Well, exactly. Well, apparently these phrases were the ones you were using.
It's a bit
prejudice, isn't it?
That is prejudice. It's borderline racism. No, I would never do that. I would never mock your ethnicity. No, mate, the thing is, yeah, like, it's like you talk.
What is this?
This is uncanny.
What is it? So, like, because you actually speak in a very erudite way.
And not in that accent.
No. Listen, it's Canberra, right? Or is it Melbourne?
Exactly. Your version is, yeah.
Sorry about that.
Anyway.
But, you know, I it's...
Do you want to hear what I'm not speaking in that accent about today?
I think.
You're making me sound stupid. I think.
Oh, so people who talk like that are stupid, are they, Sam?
Yeah, they are.
That's a bit racist, mate. Are you mocking people?
Wow,
Sam! Wow!
I don't know why you would say think instead of think. That's like not proper diction.
Because
is it?
It's like people's culture. Like, it's what they grow up. It's what they grow up with.
What's all this?
Terrible
snob.
You're a snob. You were saying that thick people use pronounce THs as Fs.
You're doing a fairly exaggerated version of someone who's from London.
I'm not exaggerating you at all.
What's on your show, Sam?
Thank you, Cornelius.
We are doing.
Yeah.
Oh, Mike Ashley.
Are you looking to the TV for a visual cue?
Sweatshops in... I'm literally looking at what's on Sky News.
Yeah.
And I'll just talk about what's on there. Mike Ashley ran a sweatshop in Derbyshire. That's awful.
Yeah, that is awful.
And we'll be talking about that. And we'll also be talking about... You know, the Chelsea doctor has settled out of court at the last minute. That happened while you were on air.
Oh,
so
really?
I didn't follow it. So we thought we were going to get our day in court. Yeah. And she was going to publish a book.
Yeah.
With all the telltale rumours that we've all heard circulating about what was going on behind the scenes at Stamford Bridge. But having turned down their out-of-court settlement yesterday for £1.2 million, they've obviously gone back with a lot more today in a confidential settlement.
Oh.
And so we're all gutted, because now we'll never know the details.
Does that mean there'll never be a book?
There'll never be a book because the terms of the settlement will be never talk about this ever again. And they've done a huge climb down, admitted that they were all wrong. She was right. Man. She's rich. She doesn't get a day in court. And the bad news for us is that we can't spend days pouring over the juicy details like the vulture journalists we are.
Little parasite. Well, you know, we can hope for some anonymously sprayed graffiti over a bridge on the M1. You know, there's hope. There's always hope. Good. Well, we look.
So there's that. And Bob Worcester's coming in and Michelle Dubry and various other people to talk about Europe, I imagine.
Oh, yeah, because they're all your little friends from Sky News. I saw you. I saw you on Sky News. I saw you the other morning.
This morning?
No, the other morning.
Oh, yeah, and the other morning.
There's a little bit of fear in your eyes there. Like, what did I do?
I was on this morning.
Oh, were you this morning?
Yeah.
I've got my tie.
And Cornelius likes to do a joke. About once a week, I come in a suit, usually because I've been on the box.
Yeah, I enjoy this. These are good.
You know when you're in any workplace, really, up and down the land, although you'd expect something better of the banter in a place where there's professional broadcasters.
It's sort of
about
your job. Yeah,
But that thing about, like, you do a joke when someone's in a suit.
Okay, here we go.
Basically, there's two. There's two jokes. Cornelius, who I believe masquerades as something of a comic writer, has only sticks to the two conventional jokes, but let's give him his day.
Okay.
Let's give him his little moment.
His moment in the sunshine.
All right, Cornelius.
Here we go.
Hang on, I've written it down. Sort of me and a couple writers threw this about.
Yeah, good.
Timing.
Quick as you like.
That's the secret.
Hello, Sam. Wow, had they implemented a dress code at the job centre?
Oh, that's actually new, because you usually do court or...
Yeah, have you come straight
bank.
For court, or how did...
Your interview at
congratulations
the bank.
On winning Carphone Warehouse Salesman of the Year.
Yeah, that was a good idea. All right, well done, Cornelius. Well done, me, for wearing a suit. Well done, everyone.
Well done, everybody.
Till 7.
Well done. Great show, everybody. That's it from me. Sam Delaney is up next. You're going to love every second of it. I just know it. I'm back tomorrow from 1. John Holmes is back on Thursday. Cheerio!
Full debate for the UK.
Pick up your phone and talk radio.
We'll get you talking.